frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Secure location that we can find in the building. You notice we have plenty of security down here.
There's a degree of excitement around electric vehicles we hadn't seen before.
But somebody's got to be the first one out there.
We need a lot of people trying a lot of different things. And then we see what emerges.
It's a race. It's a total race.
You know, until we see every car on the road being electric, we will not stop.
Oh, Elon's going to lose his shirt. Elon's going to get crushed.
God damn it, we got to get these cars out.
Things keep coming along from people outside the car business. They all fall on their butts. you didn't get the message. Give us the cars that we want.
I got the flood of emails saying, you sold out to the oil companies and you've killed my grandchildren. I hope you rot in hell.
They have based their whole company strategy on it. If it fails, there might not be a Nissan.
We need to predict the future, prepare for it. If it happens, we'll be ready.
These are people who are not going to wait around to have the solution delivered to them.
I want to show the world that it's really possible.
This is the future, and it's attainable.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. With I got Raymond on here, and Shazaz, that's me. Steve. Steve not feeling too well today. Say hi, guys.
Hello, folks. Shazaz, it's not Steve. It's Screech from Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, Screech. How you doing, Screech? Nice hair. Anyway, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking. I watched a documentary. I posted a couple links over there, one of them for a trailer, because this doggone movie that I'm talking about, Revenge of the Electric Cars, you actually have to pay to watch it on YouTube, or jump over to Netflix and you can watch it there. But there is a really good documentary about the electric car. And as I was watching this video or documentary, It dawned on me, hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, and I'm probably going to say a few things that might just very well get me shot out here in the alternative energy community, or even by the oil industries themselves. But as I was watching this documentary, it dawned on me that it isn't the oil, auto industries that's been the problem as far as getting into alternative energy. And it has never been the auto industry, because they have the technology to literally build electric cars. I mean, really nice looking electric cars. In this documentary, you'll find that there are four major players in it. And actually, now there is a list of 10 best electric cars that you can go out there and look at. I posted the link over there at shazizradio.com/superchat.html. It's on a website called evoobsession.com. 10 best electric cars. And you go down and you look through some of the prices of these electric cars, and actually, the Fiat is probably about the cheapest one I see on here so far. About $32,000 to $24,000 for this particular car, and well, I guess the Ford Focus is like $29,000 to $21,000. But they're ranging in different prices and quality. Some of them could be hybrid electric, where whenever you can drive for, let's say, maybe 100 miles or so. And then you got to recharge the little gasoline engine to kick back on. There's some all electric. Looks like I lost my doggone call on Skype here. Yeah, burn it. Hate it when that happens. There are some other electric cars out there, like the Tesla one. Let me see if I can get this doggone thing to reconnect. This is aggravating. Anyway, this is terrible for radio, man. Don't want to know what's going on there. All right, you guys back?
Bonjour.
All right. Anyway, back to what I was saying before Skype decided to rudely interrupt me. There are some companies out there, individuals like the one that SpaceX. He also owns Tesla, car company. They're not necessarily the big wigs of the bunch, but they do make a really fast, quality, beautiful looking car, all electric. And so the technology's been there all along, The problem being is that the oil industry's out there got a dirty little secret that they don't really want people to know. The whole concept of the carbon emissions and the global warming / climate change debacle there, it's all a scam. Some folks in some circles would call it, doggone it, y'all killing me. All right, I'm going to add Thomas in here.
Well, while we got this interruption, Shaziz, I just wanted to point out that in 1935, Peugeot introduced the first production power-operated retractable hardtop. It was the Peugeot 402 Eclipse.
Well,
so they've had power-operated devices in automobiles since the early 1930s. How much of a step is it from powering the car roof to powering the car itself? Considering Tesla had a battery for an electric car.
Yeah. Well, the dirty little secret in the oil companies out there is, number one, oil's natural from the environment. And this whole carbon emission thing is just a big scam. I'm trying to figure out what that word was that I was looking for. It's kind of like, you know, whenever you got two people, one of them seems to be against and one seems to be for. What the heck is the word I'm looking for?
WWE.
Yeah, something like that. But essentially, one side over there is... they say it about Alex Jones all the time. I hate it when I can't find a doggone word that I'm looking for. Controlled opposition, that's the word I'm looking for. The guys on the green side are controlled opposition for the same folks that are actually running the doggone oil companies and the doggone banks. And so when these major, like General Motors started off when they did the EV1, which they actually went around and collected them all up and smashed them all flat so that nobody would have them. But when they...
hey, just so you know, anybody wants to find out the truth about that, they can go try to get a conversation with Danny DeVito. He's pretty angry about that because they took his, too.
Yeah, he loved the car.
There was another famous actor that had one as well, and he was really rampant about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
even when they took these cars to a garage to get them serviced, all they did was rotate the tires.
Yeah. Well, nobody knew how to really work on them either, so there's no infrastructure for electric cars unless you run it from people's houses and people are willing to, like, sell you electricity off their house.
Well...
Yeah, but there was no oil filter change. There was no oil to change in the engine such.
Right.
I mean, the maintenance on it was very low anyway, so there wasn't a great deal of training required. And the problem is how many car mechanics have you got across the country that don't really want to spend their entire time taking the wheels off the back of the car and putting them on the front and saying, that'll be $30, please, for the service?
Well, anyway, I did mention that I'm going to say a few things that's probably going to get me shot in the alternative energy community and in the oil industry.
Are you about to rustle some jimmies?
Yeah, pretty much. So, essentially, one of the biggest scams is that they got going on right now is the people in the whole green community out there, the so-called Save the Planet people, and the oil companies are in bed with one another. It's plain and simple. It's not like right out in public, you know, hey, this is my girlfriend kind of thing. This is a behind-the-scenes kind of dirty deeds going on.
Yeah, they treat each other kind of like the girl that they're ashamed to be with. You know, they're like, oh, she's like a moped. You love to ride her, but you wouldn't want anybody to actually see you. You know, certainly you're not your friends.
Yeah, and so...
Thomas, I rode a moped from Holland to Italy over the Swiss Alps, and I was proud.
All right, listen, guys. Anyway, so here's the kicker, man. It gets even better than that. See, the whole global warming / climate change / oil crisis is probably the biggest scam in the history of scams. First off, and this is probably one of the ones that's going to get me shot, is that This planet isn't ever going to run out of oil, period. It's not going to happen. And the whole naming it fossil fuels from the get-go was one of the biggest lies in the history of lies. The way that oil is produced out there in nature, and the facts and the history and what volcanic activity, you're just going to have to research it yourself, because I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. But the
I've already given you the facts on how you can make it straight out of plants, and you can make literally you can make a barrel of oil out of like a bunch of dead plants within less than a week.
Yep.
So why does it take millions of years? I mean, these are just chemical reactions that we're working with no living matter at all. I'm still wanting to get my hands on a raw sample of crude oil and see if packing it in a sealed container with no oxygen and with a bunch of plant matter and animal matter doesn't convert it all into oil on its own, because there may be a series of microbes that keep feeding off each other's waste that create that stuff.
Yeah, well, the
you get it. This is a big thing that I've noticed about, if you look at the geology behind coal deposits and oil deposits, the only difference between the two is that you get an air trap inside the oil deposits. There's no air trap in coal deposits. So if you were to poke, I'm almost positive, if you were to poke a hole in a coal in an oil deposit and give it, because it's already oil at that point, if you give it about 500-600 years, it'll turn into coal. Because it's dry, all coal is basically dried out oil.
Well, here's this rabbit hole gets deeper and deeper the more you dig at it. And the oil companies literally slapped General Motors and all the major car companies slapped them down, and there's a reason behind it all. All these doggone wars that are being fought out there are ridiculous because they're fighting over oil. But essentially, where it all started, it had to do with back when the United States was under the gold standard. There was a whole different mindset going on as far as the banking industry, because it was actually held accountable to some extent because the money was supposedly backed by gold. But once that changed and we moved into the petrodollar, where now the dollar bill, or the funny money that they print out these days, is backed by gold, black gold, oil, essentially. And all these other nations out there, the only thing that's going on there is that it's about how much money you're going to charge for this oil and who's going to be in charge of the money when it gets there. If you watch the oil prices out there, they're ridiculous. I mean, one point they'll shoot way up to $4 a gallon, and then they'll drop down. Right now, I seen it the other day. I paid like $1.90 something for a gallon of gas. Maybe it's a little less than that. I can't remember. Just yesterday I bought fuel, but I can't even remember. But the only reason for that pricing to be down like that, they say, because you know, they're fracking and they found a whole lot of different oil spots and stuff like that. You know. But
I was going to say, the Arab nations are pumping out tons and tons of oil, too. So there may be some truth behind there actually being a break in the cartel at this point. That would be the reason for it going down, though. Before, it was because of a cartel. I mean, they literally had all the people who had oil said, no, this is how much you're buying that oil for, and we're not selling for one nickel less.
Well, in reality,
if we give you 24 hours, you'll break, because you got to have it.
In reality.
And that's let's just go for just a second, a sidestep. Everybody boycotted going to buy gas for a day. You can't live without gas because you have to drive your car to do things. Okay, as a nation, an individual can get away with it, but as a nation, you have to drive. Trucks have to run. Oil has to be, gas has to be bought. Diesel has to be bought. So instead of, like with this breaking the cartel where you've got the American frackers that are putting oil out, and the Arab nations are like, no, we don't want them doing that because they're competing with us and we don't have a deal. Basically what they're saying is we don't have a sweet deal with them where they won't sell for less than what we're selling it for. So they're cutting into our profits by undercutting our prices. So we'll just drop our price until basically we drive you out of business.
Well, that's essentially what's going on. It's an energy war.
So listen, though. there are multiple companies, even in the Arab nations, that are releasing oil to the world. So if we revolve boycott, instead of boycotting all gas, just boycott one company at a time, you still have all the other companies to buy from. The world still keeps moving, but that one company is going to suffer until finally it cracks. And when it does, and it lowers the price, and the other oil companies are like, hey, what are you doing? We can't trust you anymore. All of a sudden, you get the same response we've got now. There's a good chance that they'll actually start lowering their own prices against each other to drive each other out of business so they can get rid of that guy who cracked and let go.
Well, and that's pretty much what they're doing. It's not an energy crisis. It's an energy war. The whole carbon scam, the whole green movement, it's a scam. They're all in bed with each other.
I wouldn't call it an energy war. I'd say it's a war against humanity.
Well,
using oil. The oil is just the tool they're using on us.
Well, call it what you like, but
it's the tank. It's the Sherman tank that's coming to blow us away.
The fact of the matter is,
whatever you want to call it,
if you want to take time to research it, you will find out that offshore of the United States alone, and even onshore in the United States, the oil tanks are full. There are tankers waiting offshore. Have been waiting offshore forever and a day because they can't sell the oil fast enough. So now they got to try to figure out a way to get rid of some of this oil.
No. They're not selling it fast enough. They're selling it. The people who are selling oil are selling as fast as they can sell it. The problem is we can't process it fast enough. Our oil refineries can't handle it, and they're buying the surplus right now because of this war, because they know the price is eventually going to go back up at some point.
Yeah,
they'll strike a deal with the frackers, and the frackers will join the cartel, or they'll drive the frackers out of business. And the Arabs will fold up shop and say, you know what, screw it, we're not drilling any more oil. Then you can just rely on the frackers and have all the earthquakes you want.
Well,
okay. And when that happens, the price of oil is going to go right back up to the way it was before, if not higher than before. And they're going to sit on those tankers floating out there in the ocean, full of oil, so they can still sell that cheap oil at the higher price.
Yeah, well, there's also one other thing to factor in here is that a lot of people don't realize that gasoline has a shelf life. And
it sure does. And if you want it to last longer than that, like if you got it sitting around, I think a friend of mine has revitalized a 4-year a gas can full of gasoline that was sitting around for 4 years. He had to add some sort of like a booster to it to get it to work again.
Yeah, and
it was almost as bad as putting water in your gas tank.
Literally, oil or gasoline will flat out destroy a motor if it sits there too long. It will clog up the carburetor inside that doggone thing. You have to...
decomposing.
Yeah.
And when chemicals decompose, they're compacting down into their tightest configuration. The reason that hydrocarbon... Yeah, the compounds in that gasoline is so flammable is because it's all fluffed up. It's like rings of carbon with little legs of carbon sticking off it, and other elements attached to it that make it combustible. If you allow it to sit long enough, eventually it'll compact all the way down until it forms nothing but these dual rings of benzene. And you don't want that to happen. You pull out a mothball, that's what you're going to end up with.
There's a comment in the chat room over there at shazizradio.com/superchat.html. Stephen Gibbons types in, the two biggest alleged problems the world faces today is global warming, number one, and terrorism, number two. The first action the British government takes in Syria was to bomb an oil field. If that doesn't wake you up to the carbon scam, I'm not sure what will. You know, like I said, you watch their actions and you'll know what they're up to, flat out, plain and simple. If you pay attention to what's going on out there and watch the doggone the green movement out there. Now, I'm not talking about the grassroots person that's out there holding up the sign thinking they're saving the planet kind of guys. I'm talking about the big money backers out there in this world that, you know... The makers and shakers, so to speak, the ones that can actually get out there and fund and pay people to go protest, you know, and to keep all this scam going on all along, when we already know for a fact that it is 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt proven technology that you can get a carburetor or an ejector system to be so much more efficient than what we have access to today. But the key is this. You can't have an efficient...
Actually, that's not true.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely true.
Listen to me.
Henry Ford did it.
Look at the specs. Okay, look at the specs. The carburetors that we're using now, they stole from that kid that they murdered out in the desert and turned around and claimed that he was a drug user and all that. You're talking about that kid that was getting like 200 miles to the gallon because of that modification he made. They have stolen that technology. It's on your cars that are made today. The gasoline that they're giving you today isn't the gasoline he was running it on anymore. They have watered it down so bad now there's almost no energy in the gasoline compared to what it was then. So they're selling you for $5 a gallon what they were given for, you know, 1 gallon was basically the equivalent of like 4 gallons or 5 gallons of gas back that we're getting now. So you're paying like $20 to $25 for what you were getting for like 50 to 75 cents back then.
Well, even in that, you hear what you're saying right there? They are not only being able to manipulate the price of the oil industry itself, the market out there, they manipulate it up and down all the time. They do it themselves, personally. But they also manipulate the quality of the fuel that they're giving you.
The chemistry. You don't know what's in there. Have you ever sat down and actually broke that stuff down to see what's in there? Can you get a gallon of gas from 1950 and break it down to have a look at what's in there? Or at least get the text or some documentation to see how the process went, get some crude oil and make your own and see what it was like?
Well, see,
the average person is never going to be able to do that, so they have no idea what they're getting. They're getting gasoline. It's like getting food that has no ingredient list. No label. You don't even know, when you get by the can, you're just, you know, there's a bunch of prices on it, and you don't know whether it's corn or peas or pig's feet that are in that can. They're not willing to tell you. Just open it up and eat it. Don't even think about it.
The key to this whole masses right here is that the oil industry is in itself probably one of the biggest monopolies in the world, because if you think about all the products that come from oil, crude oil alone, right? These guys, they could get by with just the products that they make, such as rubber and plastic and stuff like that. They'd still be rich. They wouldn't be losing much. But the greed that is behind this...
They wouldn't be losing anything. If they find a way to push energy into vehicles without gasoline, okay, so that it's cheaper and you run your car into the ground faster because you're driving all over the place. I mean, how many trips, say, to see the relatives and whatnot would you be doing right now if the price of gas dropped to 25 cents a gallon?
That would be a lot of travel.
Exactly. So that means a lot of cars would be driven into the ground, need more wear. They'd take more wear and tear. They'd have more parts replaced. And they're building more and more of those car parts out of plastic. And if you switch to an electrical system, you could literally eliminate 90% of the metal parts that are in a car, because you would no longer have that high temperature combustion going on inside there. And those plastic parts are going to come from oil, because it's the fastest, easiest, best infrastructure setup system to produce them. So instead of making gasoline out of the stuff, they'll just keep cooking down and turn it all into plastic and sell it to us at an even higher price.
Yeah, but see, these folks out there, they want the entirety of everything that they can scratch out of oil. They don't mind selling you a dollar a gallon of gas.
You're missing the point, though. They can turn what they're turning into gasoline into plastic.
Well, I understand that.
They're actually throwing stuff away in the oil in order to produce energy that they don't have to throw away if they weren't having to sell it as an energy product.
I understand that, but when people...
They could still, yeah, that's what I'm saying, they could still use nearly 100% of what comes out of that barrel of oil as plastic.
But when people think that the oil industry gets hurt whenever they don't have to pay for a $4 gallon of gas, sure, they're not making as much money, but like you just said, man, they don't need to make gasoline in order to make money. They got so many different products that can be made from crude oil.
The only people that are being hurt by lower prices are the people at the oil well.
Yep.
That's the only people that are being affected. Everyone else has a markup, and they get the same markup no matter what. So if you're buying a gallon of gas at $4 a gallon, or you're buying a gallon of gas at $1 a gallon, they're, each one of those people still making 25 cents. It doesn't matter how much you're paying it per gallon, because when you're paying $4 a gallon, there's a higher price tag that's going to the guy who owns the oil well. And when you're paying $1 a gallon, that just means he's selling that oil out of the well at a cheaper price so they can afford to sell it to you for a dollar.
Steve put a good deal inside the chat room over there at shazizradio.com/superchat.html for those of you who want to go over there and click on some of these links. But he said, ironically, this is the region on the Straits of Gibraltar where the oil tankers are parked to promote artificial scarcity. That's another one of the dirty tricks that they like to pull. Oh, we're going to run out of oil, you know, so everybody, you know, is worried about, like, we got to get out there and find different technologies to find oil. The fact of the matter is, if you stop taking that oil out of the ground, it's going to come out of the ground by itself. It's been doing it since this planet's been around. The pressure will eventually push it up.
Native Americans had it bubbling up out of the ground, and they would go and just pick it up where it came up out of the ground.
Yeah, they used it for medicine. They used to put it on their canoes too.
Yep. Well, they were not oil. They were using from tar pits, which are basically just oil wells that are slowly decomposing, turning into that coal I was talking about.
Yeah.
Getting thicker and thicker. But it's all coming in the same place.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not going to be able to shout out of you tonight. Just give 10 seconds on that, will you?
Go ahead.
For a good while now, every time the oil prices go up, there's hundreds of tankers parked off the Straits of Gibraltar. And we all know how Google Earth likes to make certain areas of the map fuzzy. Well, it's kind of interesting that the entire Straits of Gibraltar is completely fuzzy, exactly in the location where all the oil tankers are parked, because it's kind of a short trip from Morocco to Gibraltar.
Yeah, so the dirty little secret gets out that they got all this extra oil there. Well, I thought we were short on it. You got a whole bunch sitting over there and a whole bunch on the ground and this and that.
So what do you get? You get a pipeline coming from Arabia, North Africa, up to the Morocco, pumping it into the tankers. Then it's a short trip across the Straits of Gibraltar to bring it into Europe. Well, they fill the tankers up, and once or twice a year, they just park them all up and leave them there. And say, oh, we're running out of oil, peak oil production, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
it's hilarious. But go and look at that link that I put in there.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Ask yourself, is that a matter of perhaps global security that this area has been greyed out, or is it just another one of the little tricks that they play? And as you were saying earlier, you know, they're bombing oil wells. Well, there's something you got to think about that as well. They only bomb oil wells if they refuse to sell their oil in dollars, because Henry Kissinger went round to all the big oil producing nations in the 1960s with a very special deal. We'll give you billions of dollars for your oil, much more than it's actually worth, but you're going to have to use a percentage of that to pay off our national debt so we can go and bomb people in foreign countries.
Well, then there's another key right there. That's kind of
not conspiracy theories. Is that part of the economic structure of the planet?
Well, yeah, and as far as the economy and the banking industry, the petrodollar, all that kind of stuff, if people can't put two and two together by now, they ain't never going to be able to put two and two together. If our economy is based on the price of oil, and that the price of oil going up and down has the potential to make or break the economy, so to speak, in the stock market, then somebody ought to know something about the reason why they sit there and manipulate the prices of oil up and down. And the fact that they're fighting over it tells me that there's two different factions there at play that want to keep that want control of the whole deal, you know. And that's what it's been all about. That, you know, I used to be ticked off because I thought the doggone auto industry was behind the reason why you couldn't get a decent car out there, but they're not. You know, they're putting out a good product. It just costs a lot of money. There's a lot of research that goes in behind making cars. And when they first tried to start making, like the General Motors made the EV1, it was a good product. I mean, there were people out there that were mad when they rounded them all up and flattened them out because they were, you know, good products. And the Japanese have been making some good electric cars. One of them, I think, is called the Leaf, the newest version they got going on. And there's
you talk about these modern electric cars that are watered down versions of that one.
Well, pretty much.
And they round it up so that way they can be sure that they can still make you feel like you need a gasoline car because you only get 38 miles on that electric car before you need to recharge it.
The Tesla car company, they had an all electric, and this thing not only did it look good. I mean, it started off really high.
You're talking about the Roadster.
Yeah,
but let's be honest. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about a sport car.
$100,000, I think, what they want for one of those.
It's enormous how much it costs, and they've got an Achilles heel that probably they're being held back because there's something not being released to them, so that they can have a battery system that works properly for it. Because the battery system on that is like 3/4 of the price of the car, and if you let the car go completely dead, the battery go completely dead, it will kill the battery, and you got to spend $70,000-$80,000 to get a new battery.
Well, you know what? I would love.
The road, not gotten fully charged up, went too far, and all of a sudden, boom, $70,000-$80,000, and they will not insure the battery. The insurance companies will not touch it because it is too high of a risk.
I would love to get a hold of one of them cars. You could keep the battery. I'd love to get a hold of one of them cars without the battery and hook that thing up myself.
Well, you know, this is the thing. If you can get something together to help out with that battery situation, you'll get a sit-down with Elon Musk. He would love to solve that problem because that's what's hindering him from being able to sell those things to the entire world. He gets a battery that works for everyone. All right, for those systems, it won't die if it gets completely discharged. Will still hold the same energy density, or at least 60% to 80% of the energy density, so people have a choice on which battery type they can get. He'll be more than ready to basically help you out with any amount of funding you need to make sure that comes into reality for his company.
Well, how do I get a sit down with this man?
Put something together and prove it works. Get some third-party verification, like Mark Danzey, to come down and have a test run on your stuff. I don't think you're going to have to do that. I think that Robert Murray Smith is going to beat us all to the punch on that.
Well, I hope he does.
They've got a 200,000 farad capacitor that's the size and thickness of a credit card.
This is kind of interesting. Back in the around about 2005, 2006 in the Republic of Ireland, they had this big scheme to introduce electric cars to everybody. But they kind of sabotaged it before they even got them to the showroom, because you can buy the car, but you can only rent the battery.
I don't see that as sabotage. I'd say go ahead and do that, because that way when the battery is no longer any good, you just tell them, hey, I'm not paying a rent on this battery anymore. I'm going to rent another one. You can have this one back, and they'll have to recondition the battery so they can rent it back out.
You're missing the point, Tom. They can come around and they can use law enforcement to remove all the batteries from all the cars.
Right, if you break the contract, as long as you can hold them to that contract.
Not if you... They can do exactly what they did with the EV1. People didn't own the EV1, they rented it.
Oh, is that what was going on? That's why they took them back? And didn't know if they could stop. Well, they're trying to push for that on cars in general.
Well, the Irish can't really afford to park all these cars up, but they can certainly come along with the local Gardaí and say, right, we've decided to recall this battery, we own it, you're only renting it. Part of our terms and conditions is we can recall that for testing at any time.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what ended up happening, but I wouldn't have ever seen any recall come out of General Motors off that car if it would have took off without any kind of background influence at all. Somebody got the GM, and when GM got too big in their pants, so to speak, they turned around and slapped them down. The oil companies out there have so much power that it's not even remotely funny. I mean, if you don't believe that I'm telling the truth, why are we sitting over there in the Middle East? What has the Middle East got that we need, all right? And they're talking about, well, we got to go in there and fight terrorism. Yeah, right. These guys over there are living out in the doggone desert, and we're sending them the dang...
Listen, man, they've got you sold on the idea that the politicians care.
They don't
care about the welfare of those people over there.
They don't care.
When we see... Listen, man, if you want to know just how much politicians care, go ride through downtown in your local city and have a look at all the homeless people that are not being helped, and then tell me they care.
You want to end terrorism once and for all? Stop buying their oil, stop sending them weapons, and just leave them to their own devices, and they'll do what they do to each other, and then it's all over after a while, because eventually all the equipment that they got over there right now is going to break down. They're going to need some more guns and ammunition. They ain't going to be able to get it, because ain't nobody buying their doggone oil. We don't need their oil anyway.
What's worse than the homeless people is when you go downtown and you see the police arresting somebody trying to feed them.
Yes, exactly.
Now that is disingenuous.
Exactly. That is a system of psychopathy. And therefore there's no way you can tell me that those people care about people halfway around the world, that they've never even seen them.
They don't care.
If they have seen them, they've barely seen them, and then they turn around and leave. They mean nothing to them.
Here's
all about what they got and not who they are.
Here's the only reason why we're over there is because those folks over there, other countries are buying their product. And so when other countries buy their product, we don't have no control over what prices they're going to get that product for. And other countries
what it's going to increase the value of.
Yeah, well...
Because every major monetary system out there is based on a lie.
The richer they get over on their side, the less secure it is, because now they can buy things bombs and F-14, F-16s or whatever, all the different
Actually, that's not the fear. This country would care not a fig if they had to constantly buy their weapons and their toys and whatnot, the devices that basically deliver the weapons and whatnot.
Yeah, but
what they're afraid of is having the money to buy the scientists and the engineers to make their own.
It's
have an unlimited supply then.
It's the teeter-totter effect, man. They want to make sure that you're the one that's in the air, and all they have to do at any given moment is jump off. And then
Listen, okay? Look at China, okay? And the products we got, the trouble we had before their economy started building up, and how cheap things were coming from there, right? Why were things so cheap from there? Because they had the means to make it. If they weren't making it, and they were having to buy the parts and then just assembling them and selling them on, then the price would be regulated by whoever was making the parts. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have the infrastructure to do manufacture, to create, to design, to develop new stuff if they want to.
Well, we used to have it.
And this is what has killed our economy and made us dependent on them for cheap goods, okay? Because they can make so many of them. So if you take a country that's out in the desert and you give them the scientists and the engineers that they need to develop their own infrastructure to start manufacturing toys and goods, we won't be buying at Walmart from China. We'll be buying from the Middle East. Okay? And what's that going to do for the other manufacturing? I mean, they talk about gun control. We're going to take their guns away. You can't take people's guns away any more than you can take their air away from them. You know why? Because you can go down to Home Depot, Harbor Freight, and you can pick up the tools to manufacture a gun, a quality gun, in your garage for less than $1,500. And you can make as many as you want. You can just go down to the scrapyard to get the materials you need to make all the guns you want in that garage. Okay?
So Afghans actually hand-rifling a barrel with a Kalashnikov in the middle of the mountains.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though.
This weapon is probably not very good, but it's possible to do it. A guy that wears sandals and a towel around his head can hand-drill a barrel in the middle of the Panjshir Valley. The guys with a tool shop in America have got no problem.
Right, but what I'm equating this to, though, is you don't have that capability to manufacture nuclear weapons in the middle of the desert out there. And if we get it, it's because they don't have the brain power to do it. They can't afford the people with the brains to do it. If they get those people, if their money becomes strong enough that they can afford to hire those scientists to come out there and set up the Manhattan Project there, they will have the weapons now to step onto the top tier of the world war platform. That's why they're really pushing these people in these third world countries down, because they don't want one of them getting in that position. They like to be the guys at the top dog with their finger on the button and being the only ones that have the finger on the button.
Well, then
they're still angry that Russia has their finger on the button.
That's why I keep saying that the reason why, if people out there don't believe that the oil companies are as powerful as they are, then think about the reason why we're even over there fighting with the people to begin with. It ain't got nothing to do with terrorism. I mean, we facilitate bringing people here that hate our guts, and maybe they hate our guts justifiably, maybe it's not justifiable. That's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is all these wars being fought overseas via China, via the stock market, all the international banking systems, the fuel industries and all that kind of stuff, it's not even necessary, because we're fighting over scarcity that doesn't exist. We're fighting over a boogeyman that doesn't exist, the climate change scam, all that kind of stuff there, when in reality, we got the technologies to burn water. We don't even need oil, period.
Sure, there's an important thing that people need to understand about the whole Syria, Tunisia, the whole of that kind of northern African Mediterranean region, from Egypt, Tunisia, all the way across the where you can produce oil. A lot of these groups got sick of the whole American thing. They're getting bullied, and they started doing deals with China and Russia to sell their oil and gas that they could produce to them, but they weren't going to sell it in dollars.
Well, right now Russia ain't having no part of the whole UN kind of thing right there. Russia's over there fighting for its own existence. It has resources that it's trying to move from Russia to Europe that are being interfered with, and they got a financial stake in it too. Russia's not going to give up their power, period. You know, and China's not going to give up their power. And so right now,
Russia and China have put huge investment into Syria and Iran to stabilize the oil systems so they can get the natural resource. That's why they're over there.
Yeah.
If they don't get that oil from Syria, where are they going to get it? The Saudis aren't going to sell it to them.
And that's the whole thing. We don't have an energy crisis. We got an energy war going on right now, a financial war going on. These folks up there, our system could fix itself overnight if some of these knuckleheads were out of power. You know? All the technology that could be available, the only thing that I can see right now that would put a dent in the doggone oil industries is for individuals out there. I mean, don't ask for permission. Get together, start working on ways to take what you already have and make it more efficient, period.
And don't be a loudmouth either.
Yeah.
Keep it amongst your friends. Let the word spread by word of mouth. That way, by the time they see the technology, they'll never know where the head of the technology came from.
That's right.
They won't be able to come and assassinate or put kiddie porn on your computer to frame you or whatever it is they need to do to basically make you look like such an awful person no one wants to touch your technology.
And that's what they do.
How many people are willing to wear red armbands and wear jackboots?
Go watch that documentary.
The Nazis were so awful, they ruined that image in everyone's mind, and no one wants anything to do with it now.
Go watch that.
Jackboots were good boots, man. They just totally ruined everybody's willingness to use them now.
Yeah. You know? Go watch that documentary, Revenge of the Electric Car, and pay really close attention to it. Not to the whole overall deal, but to what is actually occurring through this entire deal. Every single one of the major car companies and the other individuals who tried to put the electric car into production, they got slapped down bigger than you know what. And they either got burned out, financially bankrupted, or, in Stan Meyer's case, got flat out killed. And that's the way they do it. You think these guys ain't got power to do what Thomas just said to do? Man, they'll find ways. You know, you'll have a heart attack.
If you got enough money, you can hire somebody to do anything you want. That's why they were so scared of the Silk Road thing. They knew if that guy, whether he was actually trying to get people assassinated or not, they knew with the kind of money he had, he could do it. Because there are people out there that are really good at what they do, and as long as you have enough money to pay them, they'll do anything you want them to do.
Well, the key to the only solution that I can see is that everybody who is even remotely interested in saving your own personal wallet, start fixing your cars to be more efficient. As far as the whole, we've had free energy all along. I don't care what anybody says, carbon fuel or whatever they want to call it, fossil fuel, it's been there and it will be there. We're not going to run out of oil, period. I mean, you can make oil, period. And so with that said, you know, find more efficient ways to use the oil that you got. Get it to last a heck of a lot longer and don't tell nobody about it and just do it, you know. And when they start realizing that the doggone oil's starting to back up, sure, they're going to try to figure out a way to manipulate the market so that even if you go buy a thimble full of gas, it's going to cost you a lot of money. You know, that's the game. That's what they're playing on you guys. You know, they're trying to tell you that, oh, well, we got to get over to electric cars because we're polluting the planet. And then, out of the same breath, sabotaging the electric car industry. You see what I'm saying? That's what they're doing.
Yep.
You know?
Like I said, anybody who wants to have that process and wants to tinker around with that and refine that process, because like I said, I haven't had a chance to sit down and build it, but... you know, every step of the process for turning plants into oil has been done by somebody. There's verification for all of it.
Well, doggone, over in Europe, they were taking plastic bottles and refining them into petrol, man.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is if you want to do that, you can even start out, you know, backwards with it. You can build the plastic to oil refining equipment first, because there's tons of plastic, waste plastic laying around all over the place. Okay, you start with that, then you switch to you know, focusing your attention while that's, because it's a fairly automated system. You just have to go in every now and then and, you know, flip the switch or, you know, turn a lever or whatever to you know, open this valve or close that valve, and you know, it just keeps putting out oil off of that plastic, right? You can even tinker around with the different types of plastic too, so you can see for yourself that the highest yield and the easiest to break down plastic is polyethylene. And don't waste your money on, you know, producing heat for it. If you have sunlight, you have all the heat you need. You just need to collect yourself some mirrors. A good source of mirrors, you can get out of the back of those old rear projection TVs.
Man, I got a ton of mirrors. I bought a whole spread of them.
Well, and the other thing is that you need a good collection of that heat, of that light, to turn it into heat. You go out and buy that very VHT, very high temperature spray paint. Get the matte black stuff and coat the outside of your contain your pressure vessel that you're heating up to break that oil, that plastic down, and turning it into oil. And it'll absorb 99% of that that sunlight that's hitting it and turn it straight into heat that radiates into the chamber. Okay. So you can produce all the heat you need to break that down just having a bunch of mirrors pointed at that chamber throughout the day. Okay? So you use that process, get that automated, get that up and running, get that producing your oil that you need. Maybe set up a couple more, I mean, literally just nothing more than pieces of iron pipe from hardware store, right? Different lengths and whatnot to get your... you know, T's and whatnot to allow stuff to basically reach a certain points in that pipeline because of the temperature drop where it condenses it, so you can collect that off to the side there and separate it all out so you can make your own oil or own fuel off of that oil. Then you start working on basically setting yourself up a brewing system for kudzu or whatever local plants you have that basically are just waste plants. And don't worry about the fertilizer situation. You're not taking anything from the system that you can't turn around and give right back to it by taking and filtering off all the solids once your yeast is done breaking the sugars and the the starches down into alcohol. You get that alcohol and water out of there, and you dump the rest of that out into the field, and all the nutrients like the sodium and the sulfur and the nitrogen and all that stuff is still left behind for the most part in those in that waste plant matter to work as a good a good fertilizer. You can then start working on, you know, setting your system up to break that alcohol down into ethylene gas and a bubbler system to turn it into high-density polyethylene plastic. Once you have that, you don't have to go get scrap plastic anymore. You can make all the oil you want straight out of plants.
Well, why? How do you think nature does it?
Tom, what temperature are we talking about to melt down plastic?
If I remember correctly, it's either 350 or 450 degrees Celsius to degrade that plastic into oil. And it will actually scorch the plastic if it has oxygen. What you're doing is you're depriving it of oxygen. You put it inside of a chamber and heat it up. The pressure vessel is necessary because you don't want it expanding into a gas. And, you know, once you get an opening, then oxygen can sneak in and start degrading it. You don't want that oxygen on it. You don't want the oxygen on it until you're ready to take the compounds that are coming off of it and burn them. That's it.
Well, the key to this whole mess right here is the fact that we know you can burn water. We know there's so many different things that could be made with oil. There, just about everything out there, the GEET system that the guy came up with turned a doggone internal combustion engine into an engine that would run off of pretty much crud, you know. You could run just about any fuel you wanted through there, because anything will burn under the right circumstances. And so, you know, there ain't never, like I said, there ain't never been an oil crisis. There ain't never been an energy crisis. It's been a whole scam of manipulations, tricks, and scaremonger tactics. We're still out there warring. And these folks that the international bankers of the world, the big money men, the one that have the power to send people out to do their dirty deeds and stuff, they're going to do whatever it takes, you know, get us into World War III. What do they care? They don't care. You know, these guys are insane, man. They don't care who they destroy. They don't care who they have to manipulate. They essentially, I don't know, I would even venture to say these folks ain't even got a doggone soul, man.
Because you're talking about the dogs of war, too. These are being driven by other people who believe the whole planet belongs to them, and they're doing what they can to basically eliminate everybody that they consider to be not useful to them. Because if you're not useful to them, they don't care about you. They don't. In fact, the only care they have about you is that you're out there, and they don't want you to be out there.
Well, see,
the oil people you're talking about, the only thing they care about is the bottom line.
That's
how many
it.
Porsches they can buy this year? How many, you know, lines of cocaine they can get? How many hookers they can hire? How many mansions they can buy, you know?
But see, in the old, what I've learned on my quest for in the search for free energy, what I've learned throughout all this time and all these different technologies that I've came across, some of which have been around since way back in the 1800s and some even way before that, is that we had the technology, we had the brilliant minds all over the globe. They're just compartmentalized way away from each other so that nobody can put two and two together.
Virtual labs.
Yeah, that's what virtual labs is all about. You know, get these folks together.
We need a name for that other laboratory system I was talking about where, like, you deck it out. It's a physical lab that's made out of, like, a household or a shop space where the interior has been revitalized so that you can actually get people more interested in watching it. You pull them out of the real world and into this kind of fantasy world like you do with movies, say Star Wars, okay, Star Trek. These movies pull people out of their existing life and away from the drudgery of sitting at a phone for 8 hours a day and talking to people for some company that does nothing more than, you know, provide entertainment, or they provide, plastic gizmos or whatever it is that they do. You pull them out of that world into this futuristic world where they can be a hero. They can be a scientist. They can be an engineer. They can, you know, they can go out and change the world. right? Or even more so, they could change the universe. You get that because of the props and the sets.
Without those props and sets,
if you had those people just standing on an empty stage with nothing behind them except a curtain, they wouldn't go to pay to see those movies. So we need to decorate the house so that when the people come there, not only are the people that come there inspired to do something because they're no longer trapped in their mind by the ordinary world, but being freed of that to where their subconscious can now do anything it wants, and their conscious mind isn't constantly telling it, no, you can't, no, you can't, because they feel like they just stepped onto a starship or they're on a star base, right?
Not only
doing that, but also the people who are tuning in to view, they're absorbing this knowledge as a side product while they're being entertained.
Yeah, I like your idea for many reasons, one of which it inspires creative thinking, and that's what...
Well, and we need a network of these.
Yeah.
Across the planet. Anywhere somebody, a group of people can come together and put the resources together to put one of these places together, we need to do it. And we need to get one up and show, like, literally started out with a showcase of the making of. And, you know, I mean, the making of what? What are we building? What is this place? What are we going to call it? Let's you know, kind of brainstorm up an idea to throw this together so that it, just a simple phrase, instantly brings it to mind every time somebody says it.
Inspiration, you know, man.
I've got the perfect solution for that. Instead of getting a bunch of retarded Z-list nobody wannabe celebrities to bitch at each other in a house for 10 weeks, why don't we have a cross between Big Brother and Scrappy Challenge called Big Redneck? We'll get a load of mad scientists and we'll toss them into a house together, and we won't vote them out, but whatever they come up with at the end of it, instead of giving some retarded wannabe £1 million to go off and drive old cars around the field and smash them up, we actually fund their invention.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But we want it to feel like you're watching this, you know, sci-fi show. And I don't mean like, you know, not a big glossy eggshell-shaped system like you see in the Next Generation on their, you know, on the Starship Enterprise. I'm talking like, you know, grungy, it's still high tech, but it looks lived in, it looks believable, like Destiny from Stargate Universe.
Yeah, that was a good show.
You mean like James May's Man Lab with the concrete coffee table?
Well, and that's what I'm saying, though, is it's not that hard to deck a place out. It's a little harder if you have to make sure it will last, if people are banging on it and running into it and whatnot, but it's still not that hard. It's very easy to build these places. We need, if you can put me in a place with the tools and the supplies and a handful of people to help me build the place together, within a week we can have an entire house that the second you close that door, you can't tell that there's a 20th century or 21st century Earth outside of it. You'd literally expect that if you open the door, you get sucked out of space.
Well, it reminds me.
And the people that I work with will be able to go on and show other people exactly what we did there with no problem, and spread the ability to put these places together like a virus, so that we now have 4-bedroom houses with, you know, a 2-car garage and a 3-quarter basement are now, you know, turned into an advanced sci-fi looking lab. Like a high voltage experimental lab, an agricultural experimental lab, just the whole 9 yards.
Have you seen that movie Ascension? That series Ascension?
I have.
Well, that's pretty brilliant, because they literally, it was supposed to be a deep space program. It was secret, like right after the supposed astronauts going to the moon and all that kind of stuff there. But they literally put these people into a simulator the original people actually believed that they were going into deep space. It was like a 90-year travel to this distant planet or whatever. And during this whole entire process, their families were raised up in there, and then the next generation come in, and at some point, they had no clue that they weren't in space. That all along, they were in this doggone simulator.
And they were outfitted with all the tools and supplies they needed to do.
Well, that's what I was trying to get to.
And they were turning around and patenting that stuff and selling it off. Like the microwave oven, I think they were saying, came from that project.
Yeah.
Somebody on that ship that thought they were in deep space developed and designed and created the first microwave oven.
Yeah, they were creating new technologies on the fly with the resources that they had available to them on that ship that was supposedly going through space. Mm-hmm. But that kind of same concept is what I feel like you're talking about with this design that you're talking about getting a lab together.
And it's being paid for by the public when they view it, because there are corporations that are already willing to pay Google to put ads on your videos and stuff like that, so we can monetize all this stuff and then funnel all that money back into the project to get supplies and resources and feed people that are, you know, working on labs and whatnot, so they can really focus on what they're doing.
Well, this is the whole point I was going to get into,
self-sustaining.
Instead of having a bunch of network directors frothing at the bit for ratings, you literally just stream it live to the internet.
Let it write itself.
You've got no editorial control that goes with whatever mumbo jumbo social politics they want to come up with next to try and influence society in one direction. I mean, I've never actually watched more than about 10 minutes of Big Brother, because when I look at it, I think, who are these people? I'm sure they're very nice people, and I'm sure that they've got real lives, but the second they walk through the threshold of that door, they just act like complete and utter idiots.
Right. How much of it is scripted, too? You don't really know.
Well, yeah.
It's like the Jerry Springer Show. How many of those people do you look at on one of those shows? If you have a sit down and look at those, do you honestly sit there and think, wait a minute, I know people like that? No. 90% of the time, you look at that stuff. Everybody that I've talked to that's seen that stuff, they're like, how do these people even exist in the real world? When they leave that show set, why did they not die before they exited their teens? How did they manage to actually continue breathing?
Well, in fairness, Tom, I've actually met quite a few people like that. That's why I left England.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, though. These people, if you sit down and watch that show, I guarantee you, you're going to be like, wait a minute. These people are even worse than the worst people that I've seen in real life. You know, how can they even possibly say that? It's got to be faked.
The power.
See the white power fanatic that said the Jerry Springer, that he had one of his a lampshade made out of the skin of one of his ancestors in the boot of his car.
The power structure out there that is in charge of this world is insane, flat out insane. They have used every single tactic under the sun, including changing the history books and doing whatever they can to manipulate the masses into believing you ain't got no kind of power over nothing. You know, right now, when we talk about doing this stuff right here, I think back to all these different spy versus spy networks out there and all the different government agencies that, you know, if you come up with an over-unity or a perpetual motion machine, suddenly there's Men in Black rush in and say, oh, no, you can't have that, you know, they got to take that matter of national security or whatever, you know. You're going to have to find a way around all that. You're going to have your own spy versus spy network to keep an eye out for the knuckleheads trying to come in there and crash the place to the ground. So, what I'm saying, get all these individuals together.
Black hats.
Get all these individuals together and just start letting the ideas flow. Totally unscripted is perfect, because, you know, even when you got an explosion in your lab, you got to figure out a way, because now, you know, in this scenario, you're deep in space. You got to figure out a way not to choke to death, fire safety and stuff like that. And you'd be surprised how many creative ideas could come out of that. Marketable products that other, I think, even companies would be watching the show just so they can get ideas for their deal. You want to talk about the best type of think tank in existence? That would be perfect, because now not only the average Joe's getting ideas, but the companies are out there getting ideas, and you know.
Well, and people have a short attention span. There's a plenty of people that would pay for DVDs that are just compilations of the best bits.
Yeah.
And that money could also be funneled back into that system. You know.
Well.
And then you've got all the extras where you've got the voiceover of the inventor to actually explain what it does and how it works, where you get the materials from.
Yeah, and you've got narration out of itself. Right, you've got narration that can be put together after the fact so that you can make sure that it's easily digestible by the average person that doesn't have the time to sit there and try to figure out what's actually going on.
And for people that are really not interested, I mean, we could literally do... What was that? Those fellas that... Oh, God. Basically, what I'd like to do is the top 10 Shaziz self-electrocution moments.
Yeah.
Jackass. Okay,
now you're stepping off into Idiocracy land, where you got to show there's nothing but the guy getting hit in the balls repeatedly.
But people have made money for that, and you need funding.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd need to even stoop to that to get the funding, though. I think the other funding would be more than we'd actually be able to use. At some point, we'd have to start funneling the excess off to do something else with it, like, you know, going and setting up maybe a place to feed homeless people, or doing the extra effort and research it takes to get FDA approved for some of our agricultural experiments so that we can go ahead and turn loose of those as no longer experiments. They're literally just food production facilities for the homeless, you know?
Well, regardless of what we do, the information that people can actually, you know, spark creative thinking, you know, this isn't just one industry out there that could benefit from a scenario such as this, because, you know, there's artists out there, there's singers and musicians, and, you know, you got copyright issues right now with everything that's already on the market. So you got a new musician that wants to be heard, you play his tune on the show and that kind of stuff there, you know. Now it gets heard. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I tell you what, Shaziz, while we're on the subject of agriculture and horticulture, which is probably my good thing, really, there is some very good news, and if people haven't heard it yet, they need to go and look at it. There are a large number of groups out there, non-profit organizations, scientists, doctors, medical institutions, that have gone to the United Nations to basically sue Monsanto and put them on trial for crimes against humanity. Bearing in mind that this is the group that made DDT, Agent Orange, PCBs. I mean, what they have done with their chemical products to the planet is a real abuse. And in October 2016, there will be a court hearing held against Monsanto for crimes against humanity.
Well, there ought to be a whole lot more people out there on trial in court for all the craziness that's been going on. I can't see any justification for any of the doggone wars out there outside of, you know, if you got one dictator that's running around murdering people, you got to stop him. That's flat out obvious. But how do we know who put who into power and all that kind of jazz? These wars have been manipulated for so long it ain't even remotely funny, man. And there's a lot of blood on the hands of a lot of people out there that aren't even in the public scene. You know, you don't see them. They're behind the scenes. They manipulate everything you think. You know, put stuff on TV. It's got to be true if you've seen it on TV. You know, that kind of jazz. And
do you know what the difference between the Big Brother house and the White House is?
Pretty much nothing.
No, in the Big Brother house, you get to get rid of one idiot a week. In the White House, you're stuck with him for 4 years.
Yeah, that's bad enough. But it's got to come down to the average Joe doing something, man. You know, find a way to make your doggone gasoline generator more efficient. There's ways to do it out there. There's research out there. You know, turn it into an alcohol burner for that matter, whatever, you know. And, heck, build your own steel to refine your own alcohol. You know, there's going to be...
that process I was talking about before doesn't require a still to refine the alcohol out of the water.
Well, there you go.
If you drop sulfuric acid into a solution of alcohol and water, it will crack the oxygen and hydrogen that's attached to the alcohol off of it. If you don't do anything to it, but just basically run it through a cooling system, you get diethyl ether out of it. You know how flammable that is.
Yeah.
So you can use that right away as a high-octane, high-energy output device or a compound. So if you heat it up, if you keep it under pressure and heat it up to about 150 degrees Celsius, while this is going on, you get ethylene gas that bubbles off, and that can be turned into high-density polyethylene.
Well, I started realizing there was a sham quite some time back when I realized that the doggone so-called green people out there were fighting against the folks out here trying to bring out new alternative energies. You know, I could understand them protesting the oil companies if they really truly believed that carbon was a problem. But for them to basically come out there and do the things that they do to in the alternative community and not try to back people in alternative medicines or alternative financial systems, alternatives to a legal system or whatever. If with the masses, the many people that they got running around there holding signs up saying save the doggone planet, you know, save the trees or whatever, you got a wooden sign and a paper deal going on there, and you're going to stand there and say save the trees.
Well, you're basically, you've got people that are trying to force the people who are doing the damage to stop doing the damage and do something to in the reverse.
Yeah, but see, they
can... How difficult is it to get a car to go in reverse that's doing 90 miles an hour? You have to go through all the hassle and effort and energy to stop that car first before you can start going the other direction.
They could beat those...
Why not
those...
find a car that's already sitting still and throw it in reverse and drive the other direction? Stop trying to force the people who are ruining things to go in reverse, and just get other people who are willing to do the right thing together, get them the funding and what they need to do the job.
They're sitting there ready to go.
They're sitting there ready to go the right direction.
That's what I was trying to say. Instead of sitting there shouting at the wall, because they're not gonna change their ways because they got the power structure to just ignore you, period, have you thrown in jail. Stop going out there wasting your time protesting over there. Get over there. If you want to be proactive towards saving the planet, if you really believe the planet's doomed, then go find all these people in the alternative deal and focus all your energies to bringing attention to these folks. All right? And that's how you're going to get it done. You're not going to beat them head on. You're going to have to beat them at their own game by getting out there promoting the individuals who's out there with the information that they're trying to give away to the general public for free, open sourcing new designs and trying to get things on the market that's going to be beneficial to everybody. These companies out there, while you're out there protesting, they're out there skimming around and looking and seeing what's coming up in the alternative energy community, and they're buying them out. There's folks out there that have all kinds of good designs. One guy flat out said, if an oil company offers to sell, buy, I'll sell. It flat out. You know, he didn't care. He just wanted to get his money. And there are folks out there that want to do that. So come up with an alternative energy deal. You want to get rich, go to the oil company and say, look what I got. They'll either kill you or buy it from you, one of the two. And
no, they'll buy it from if you're willing to sell it and sign a contract that you won't tell anybody else about it. If you aren't willing to do that, then they'll kill you.
Yeah, that's
it. So there's no amount of money you could ask for they can't come up with.
So why go over and protest those guys when you know that while you're over there protesting them, they're laughing at you and they're over there just gathering up all the good ideas and shelving them. That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. You know?
The trick seems to be, is to have a plan A, B, and C. Your plan C is the kind of really good technology that isn't really that efficient that they're going to pay you a lot of money for to go in and shut up about. But you don't care
about
that.
I was going to say, here's the other thing, too. You worry about, I got to get it patented so they can't steal my idea. Well, this is the thing. If the idea is that good, they don't want you to patent it because they don't want it on the list of patents so somebody could use it. So they will pay you for it. They'll pay you more for it if it's not patented, and then it'll be shelved, and they'll never patent it.
Yeah, and you think
if you patent it, you pretty much open the nest.
You think they ain't got their own? You think they ain't got their own moles in the patent company?
The thing is, though, once it's in that system, if it actually makes it to when you apply for a patent, there's actually a separate database for all the applications that you can look online at and look at them right now. Whether they ever get awarded a patent or not, you can still look them up. You can still look them up.
Yep.
And they don't want that. They do not want somebody to be able to see that stuff. So you don't have to worry about patenting something to get the to in order to force their arm to get the money. All you have to do is let them know, look, I've got the knowledge, and I've got and just have a backup system where basically if something happens to you, something automated sends all that information out to other people. You know,
so
once you have those two keys together, they'll pay you whatever to basically make that automated system go away and to make you stop talking about it.
So if you ever want to
go sleep on the Caribbean beaches every night,
if you ever want to beat them at their own game, it's going to be you're going to have to build your numbers and your power up by talking to each other and networking with each other and just doing ideas and getting them going. Like I said, you ain't going to beat them head on. There ain't no way you can do it. And
this is the thing too. You try to give this away to the world doesn't want it. They don't want what they don't know is out there. You want to give it to the people who actually are seeking it out.
Yeah.
So network together and work together and, you know, build your infrastructure up, you know, help each other out. At some point, you can start using it to start pulling people in off the street that are basically, you know, homeless and whatnot and helping them out and whatnot, give them a job, get them set up, you know. Some of these people are homeless because they refuse to be a part of the system. Those are the ones you want to go look for.
Show.
You know, if you're not a mental health therapist, you don't want to touch those other people that literally, you know, they're out there because they can't function in society. You need to, you know, start working on trying to get something better for those people together with people who actually know what they're doing.
This is how you fix it, Tom. I have three ideas. You sell the worst one to the energy companies, get billions of dollars for it, shave your head, get a big fluffy white cat, and go and build a research lab underneath a volcano.
So the title to your plan is How to Become a Supervillain.
Well, believe me, if you come up with two ideas that are actually better than the one they just paid you billions for, you will be a terrorist.
Did you go watch that documentary? There was a section in there where at the time when General Motors was going bankrupt, they flew in on corporate jets, and so publicly, people outside looking in at these big companies coming in on corporate jets to get a bailout from the government, they didn't look good at all coming in on corporate jets. But the truth of the matter is, these guys had millions and billions of dollars on the line, and they knew that they were going to lose everything that they had if they didn't get some sort of assistance, you know. And they already had the infrastructure in place to make cars, all right? They had the infrastructure in the place to make electric cars. So the people that was on the opposite side of the spectrum that was trying to bring down these doggone auto industry, they had the power to do it. And you could, if you pay attention to what's being said, you can hear a congressman grilling the guy from the doggone auto industry. And he's pretty much yelling at him. He says, give us the cars that we want, and then that's that, you know. But in reality, they were trying to give the cars that people wanted, all right? They just couldn't do it because of all the shenanigans going on in the background. The lowest guy on the totem pole, the individual who was showing people how to retrofit already existing cars into electric cars, his place went up. They determined it to be arson. Somebody burnt him out. All right, and that's the easy way. They either burn him out, they politically destroy him, or financially destroy him, or in like Stan Meyer's case, they kill him off. All right, now these folks out there that I'm talking about, it's not a sub-secret elite group of people that's destroying this world, even though there are people out there that are in charge like that. These people are right there in your face. These major oil industries and fuel industries, as far as electricity and all that kind of stuff, these guys don't want this technology to ever see the light of day because of obvious reasons. It takes money out of their pocket. Now, hold on a second. If a big industry such as the auto industry can get mopped by these people, then that ought to be a red flag. You see what I'm saying? Go ahead, Steve.
Paul Pantone, the inventor of the Geek system, did an interview on TNS Radio, and he came up with a very good point, and it was very similar to apparently what Stan Myers was told. When he wanted to patent his Geek system, they said, that would be a threat to national security, basically because it's an oil-based economy.
Yeah.
And if you can run your car on beer and coffee, which is actually ironically more expensive than gasoline.
Well, the key... It's come
to undermine the fabric of society, because the fabric of society is based on an oil economy.
The key to note during this whole deal, and pay attention to what like Obama and all them out there are saying, all right, the key to note during this whole deal is the government is dead in bed with these individuals, because it's blatantly obvious. You know, you talk about the Keystone Pipeline, all right? It's still going. It's still going. They're still building it, even though they say, well, you know, we're not doing this, and it's being slowed down or whatever. It's still going, and it's going to continue to go until it's completed. That's all there is to it. But the fact that the government's out there, if they really wanted to solve the so-called energy crisis, if they really wanted to solve green energy, clean, renewable energy, it'd be a done deal by now. They would have backed all these companies that were out there doing this deal. But the fact is that these guys that are in office, they get elected by the money, the same money that they're supposedly fighting against. You see what I'm saying?
The reason why the EV one was taken off the road is because the government subsidies ran out.
Yeah, well, not only that, it was too good a product.
Well, never mind about too good of the product. They were hugely and very heavily subsidized by the government for this whole global warming mumbo-jumbo, let's get down to zero emissions nonsense. And a lot of people bought the cars, and they're actually very good, apparently. I've never been in one, and I've never spoken to anybody personally that's driven one. But I've seen the testimonies of the previous owners that said it was a brilliant car, but it was also incredibly heavily subsidised by the government. And what happens when subsidies run out? Materials are withdrawn.
Yeah, but what a better way to get control of an electric car company is to give it money from the government. Then you can yank that money out whenever they get too good.
Well, I mean, there's a certain amount of business sense in GM saying, well, look, we're not getting any more handouts to run these cars, so let's pull them.
It's controlled opposition, Steve. That's all this has been all along, controlled opposition. The whole save the planet slash up against the big oil industries, they're all in bed with each other. The governments are in bed with each other, and it's blatantly obvious. All you got to do is pay attention. When these folks out here are doing what they're doing, these people that want to save the planet and talk about how worried they are about the environment and all that kind of stuff, and they get all these regulations passed, every doggone regulation out there and passed, especially the carbon tax, the doggone EPA coming out and saying that carbon is a toxic waste or whatever, you know. All that does is give the government and the oil companies yet even more power. The governments don't care about paying carbon taxes. They invented it. You know? Oil companies don't care.
I recommend people go on the internet and look for petitions to ban dihydrogen monoxide.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Otherwise known as H2O, and millions of people have signed a petition to ban water.
Yeah, you already, in some places you can go to jail for collecting rainwater. In some places you get taxed on collecting sun, wind, you know. Okay, well, they wanted green power, all right, so the green power was given to them. All right, they got big old solar farms. Oh, well, now that's going to kill the birds. We can't have these anymore. We'll put a screen over the doggone wind turbine, and the bird can't get hit by it. You know what I mean?
And bats. Don't forget about the bats. Bats and polar bears, they're very popular.
Yeah. So, when you give them what they want, and they still complain, then that ought to be a red flag. It's just like going in there instigating a fight to destabilize a nation. You send a bunch of jerks in there to make it look like everyone's a radical, all right? It ain't everyone a radical out there. Some people are genuinely out there trying to protest peacefully, and then you got these knuckleheads that come in there and stir everything up and start throwing bricks through windows and stuff like that, which gives them the justification to send the jackbooted thugs in to beat you toothless and pepper spray your mama. You know? It's ridiculous.
Well, if anybody thinks that the government loves them, go look at the YouTube footage of student protesters sitting very quietly and very calmly. And you watch the guy with a fire extinguisher full of CS gas walk up and down and just casually spray this stuff all over him.
Yep.
That's not the actions of a benevolent structure of society. They are psychopaths.
We are being played like a banjo. That's plain and simple. The whole entire world is being played like a banjo. They're manipulating the stock markets. They own the stock markets. Hey, if I got $1 million, I can waste a couple hundred thousand here and there, let my stock market go up and down, and it gonna hurt my feelings none because I print the money. All right? And when I get tired of being broke, I just print myself some more money. They got the perfect scam going on. They can make you think that there's some sort of choice because, you know, hey, we're going to tell everybody the planet's dying because we're burning up because of CO2, and we're going to get them to pay carbon taxes, and we'll even get the people to be out there protesting on our behalf. They won't even know they're protesting for us. You know?
Well, do you know what makes Islam such a threat to the West? Beyond all the bombings and terrorists and all the rest of it.
Well, outside the propaganda, no.
Well, the fundamental banking system in a lot of Arabic countries, usury is abhorrent to them. You can charge for banking services, but the concept that because you have a large pool of money, you can use it to generate a lot more money with no effort whatsoever, is not something that they entertain.
You're talking about interest. Talking about interest, they find that deplorable. They also, this is another thing too that they don't mention, like the Hebrew tradition. They, you know, they're like, oh, they had slaves too. Well, yes, but if a man came to you and ended up owing you because you took care of him financially or feeding him or whatever, and he signed himself over to be a slave to you, you had to claim that debt paid in full in 7 years, and he had to be treated better than any of your family members while he was there.
Yeah.
Working off his debt. You could not mistreat him just because he wasn't a family member. In fact, like I said, you had to treat him even better. And, you know, these people were afraid of being shoved into a hole after they died and what was left of them being burnt and gone. Because that's where the original term for hell came from was, Sheol. It's just basically a hole you put things in and burn the rubbish away, you know, throw it away.
Yeah.
Well,
also you've got the concept of indentured servitude, where you give over your manpower or your skills and abilities for a set time to either pay a debt or to
that's some sort
of obligation.
Right, you're not allowed.
Slavery and indentured servitude is necessarily the same thing.
Right, you couldn't compound interest or add interest to what that person owed you while they were working off as your servant. They didn't believe in interest at all.
That ain't how the government works.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, look at Western world, most of our financial system is specifically and intentionally designed to make sure that people are easily controlled. And the best way they can do that is to claim debts that don't really exist.
Well,
how can you owe something to somebody that never had anything to give you in the first place?
Right.
Right now, I'm 50 years old, and I've been hollering about global warming for over 40 years. 40 years! All right? Over 40 years! Global warming, a hole in the ozone layer, all this kind of craziness been going on for over 40 years. And all these people out there who supposedly want to save the planet haven't picked up on that just yet. How long does it take to boil away the planet? Seriously. It's so doggone aggravating. It gives me a headache every time somebody comes out there and they say, oh, well, I think climate change is real. Sure, the natural climate change is up and down. and they're trying to pin it on man. Man did it, you know, but one volcano spews up more crud in an instantaneous motion than all the cars we've driven since cars were invented. Now,
well, it's openly admitted at this stage, even in Congress. You can go and watch it on C-SPAN, where the director of HAARP openly admits that their weather modification experiments were successful.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You've got a device that can change weather, and you can build that device anywhere in the world, and even if you can't build it anywhere in the world, it's got such a long range of ionization that you can point it and bounce it off the ionosphere to a large area around you. If you can change the weather, then there is man-made climate change.
You can see,
men need to stop doing it.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, man. As a scientist, I'm willing to give. I'm willing to give them their deal. I'm willing to say, okay, look, I'm gonna humor you. Let's just say climate change, global warming, it's a real deal. Okay, we got to save the planet. All right, I'm gonna give you that. All right, even though I disagree, I'm gonna give you that. We got to save the planet. Stop hindering the people out there who are attempting to do so. You know?
Yeah, well, it's not about what tools do we need to save the planet, because we've thousands of universities across the globe of intelligent and well-educated people that are not working on the problem. They're working on managing the problem.
Yeah, but see, there's a mindset out there. There's a mindset out there in the herd mentality to think that we all need to go back and live in mud huts. All right, and I'm not going to go live in no mud hut.
Live in the woods and find yourself a bucket.
Yeah, and leave it at that. I'm just saying, I'm not going to go live in no doggone mud hut. I've tasted the electricity. I've actually been shocked by electricity quite a few times. I kind of like it. So, I'm going to keep my electricity. But
there's nothing stopping you, though, from living in a mud hut with electricity that feels like a palace inside, though.
Yeah,
you can literally use sustainable resources to build a mansion.
But the thing is...
That actually will last longer and work better.
The thing is, Thomas, what I'm trying to point out is that they want... Even though you're trying to give them alternative free energy devices just like they wanted, because we've got to save the planet from the so-called carbon emission, which is a big hock-a-hooey,
they don't want it. Yeah, they don't want you to solve it. The only way they want it solved is if it makes them more money.
They want you walking around in sandals and living in a mud hut and carrying your water to and from the well and not having a wood-burning stove. How you gonna stay warm in the winter if you can't burn some firewood? All right, if you ain't got electricity, you can't burn firewood. You can't burn fossil fuel. First good winter, especially here in Missouri, you're gonna be dead meat. That's all there is to it, unless you can figure out a way to dig yourself into a cave and hibernate during the whole season. At the end of which, you're gonna stink like nothing you've ever smelt before in your life, because you've been sleeping for part of the year and you ain't had a bath. Plus, you're going to starve. So, it's on one hand, they got this, let's go back to the caveman lifestyle. Let's live in harmony with nature, you know. Let's go live in mud huts and do everything all nature. We don't need no solar panels. We don't need no wind turbines because they might hurt a bird or whatever. It's ridiculous. It's flat out ridiculous. So,
well, as you said, it's controlled opposition.
Yeah.
On one hand, you've got a bunch of soapy liberals screaming for wind turbines because they're green, even though they could use more resources to actually build, construct, maintain, and then to get rid of at the end of their lifespan than fossil fuels. And that is no shadow of a doubt. They're actually more pollutive than other forms of electricity generation. And what happens if there's no wind?
Well, then you use the sunlight.
But also, you've kind of got materials that need to be sourced from rare earth elements in some of those solar panels.
Well,
effective ones.
The only other alternatives are that we burn fossil fuels. I ain't even going to say fossil fuels anymore. I'm just going to say flat out oil, because fossil fuels is a crock. All right, a bunch of dinosaurs made some oil. That's a big crock. All right, look.
Dinosaurs too.
Yeah, I'm just going to say oil from now on. You know, we're going to just keep on burning oil, and we're going to keep on burning water. It's going to happen whether you like it or not, because the oil industries, they got more oil than they'll ever be able to use in probably a million lifetimes, and they're not going to run out. The planet makes it all the doggone time. They're never going to run out. And so you're going to fight this battle for the next 20,000 centuries trying to save the planet. All right? Well, if the planet hasn't been doomed in 40 years, it ain't going to be doomed in the next 40 years. It don't take that doggone long to heat up the planet.
Hasn't oil already supposed to have run out?
Yeah.
What the guy in the 70s.
But amazingly enough, hey, look, we found some more oil. Ha, huh, that's cool. Look, we found some more there, too. Hey, we're saved. We're going to charge you more because it could run out. But, hey, it's all right. It's all good. Let's go over to war, because we found some folks over there that's got more than we got. And we need to make sure they don't sell theirs cheaper than ours. Does that sound familiar?
Well, it's not selling it cheaper. It's selling it in the right currency, so the Federal Reserve gets the cut of it.
Bingo. When they started asking for gold instead of dollars, then that was dangerous to the ones in charge, because we can't have them have all the gold, because he who has the gold makes the rules, right? We can't have them making the rules. So we got to go over there and destabilize their nation so that they won't be able to get that power. But yet,
now, here's an interesting little fact for you, Shaziz. In June of last year, all major banks on planet signed an agreement that any transactions in any developed country in dollars anywhere in the world would be reported back to the Federal Reserve.
Yep. And out the other side of their neck, that when the politicians
speak... What
business
is it of a private company for people's private transactions to be relayed to them under law?
Yep. And out the other side of their neck, the same politicians coming out there getting elected because they go, I'm going to save the planet. When I become president, I'm going to save the planet. I'm going to end all these wars. And all the people out there, they eat it up like it's candy. When out the other side of their neck, the same people keep sending guns, ammunition, and overnighting bombs to them, dropping them on their heads. The same people who are out there to supposedly save the planet and end the wars keep perpetuating it year after year after year. Ain't nothing changed. That was a big deal when Obama got elected. Hey, I'm bringing change. We're going to fundamentally change the United States of America. Yeah, he fundamentally changed it. He pretty much screwed us for the next 100 years. We'll never be able to get back to where we were as far as industrial-wise. There is
a good reason why all of this stuff is made in Asia. And it's not what you mentioned earlier. It's because the Chinese turned around and gave two fingers to the rest of the world and said, I'll show you exactly where you can stick your Kyoto Treaty and you ain't going to like it.
Well,
they've used carbon taxes to shut down manufacture in the West to basically move it all east where there is no regulations.
Well, the whole carbon scam is what they're using right now to basically control people out there and be able to make more money. You know, Al Gore is going to be filthy, stinking rich once this is national all the way across all the boards.
He's rich, but... The inconvenient truth is Al Gore and his partner Blood, who I haven't really looked into so much, but they built the carbon credit exchange.
Yeah.
So basically now you've got the fundamental building block of life is a tradable commodity set up by the guy that saves whales and polar bears.
But on its face, the carbon tax is a slap in the face to all those out there to save the planet. Because what is a carbon tax? It ain't nothing more than penalty for using fossil fuels, oil.
Everything's made out of carbon, shouldn't
it? Yeah, well...
You're having a hard time not using that term anymore, aren't you?
Yeah. it's even worse than that, because while these folks out there talking about green energy, alternative clean energy, they're not saying that they're going to stop people from using coal and oil. They're just saying that they're going to charge them more money to do so. So it's not going to stop. They're still going to continue. They're still going to continue to be internal combustion engines on the street, regardless of what anybody thinks. The electric car is going to have a hard time, a really hard time of actually making it onto the market to the extent to where the average Joe can afford one. And then when you do afford one, just like they did back during the EV1, when they get tired of it, when it gets become too good, the companies will recall them, smash them all up, start all over again, get everybody crying about, oh, well, gas prices are too much. We need clean energy, you know, save the trees, save the planet. It's a perpetual pit one guy against the next one, and in reality, the green community out there are in bed with the oil companies, who's in bed with the bankers, who's in bed with the doggone government, and you ain't going to get nothing accomplished until you get up off the couch and you do it yourself. You don't ask for permission, you figure out how to make your car run more efficient, and you hit them in the pocket. That's the only way you're going to do it. And if you want to run a doggone windmill out in your yard, you just do it. Period.
Well, Chiz, you've got to look at the mechanism of carbon exchanges as well. Because the fundamental principle is, undeveloped countries that have a quota for carbon usage that don't use it can sell that to other countries for money.
Yeah.
So what happens when you get your allotment of carbon usage, and somebody wants to burn a bit more oil, or they want to build a new power station in America or England? They go to somewhere in Africa where they've got virtually no development whatsoever and say, we want to buy your carbon credits.
Yeah, you want to get that rich? You want to get that rich?
Chiz, the big point is that country is already in debt slavery, and they're building another mechanism of slavery to make sure they cannot become developed.
You want to get fat rich? You build you an industry that you can get your allotment of carbon credits that your industry doesn't pollute.
It's not even about these guys getting rich.
Yeah,
it's
but listen. Listen.
There's a reason why Africa is undeveloped.
Listen.
It's because they don't want it to be developed, and carbon credits are a way of guaranteeing that they'll become developed.
Oh, I agree. But if you want to get fat rich, you build you an industry and you make sure that industry is not even polluting in the least, and you got your allotment of carbon credits and you go around and sell it to the rest. But what remains at the end of the deal, if you got carbon credits, then that means carbon's still being emitted. You haven't won nothing. You made some money off the scam.
We've got some wonderful scientists that have got all the answers, and they've said we can have X amount of carbon usage on the planet. So what we're going to do is we're going to divvy it up between you. Oh, and guess what? If you don't use yours, you can sell it to someone else for a bit of extra cash, you know, a bit of pocket money.
Yeah.
Well, once you sold it to them once, they're going to keep wanting it. And if you refuse to keep selling your carbon credits to them and then put them in a carbon deficit because they don't have enough credits, and they're going to have to start paying fines to God knows whoever, the IMF or the Queen or whoever, you know, then someone's going to come and start blowing the hell out of your country. So yeah, you don't have that problem of not being out, not wanting to develop and not sell your credits. The whole credit thing is another false scarcity designed to control people's lives.
Yep, that's the whole key right there. All of this whole deal right here, the big dog and pony show, the whole fake election debacle, all the craziness going on out here. I mean, people are being played like a doggone banjo, man. Up and down, everything. You think you got a choice. They get out there and put on this big old soap opera show of all the different candidates out there that, when I get in there, I'm going to save the planet. When I get in there, I'm going to go over there and kick those folks' butt because, you know, we got to be tough. When in reality, the game is already being rigged from the get-go. You go to the casino has the upper hand. If you win anything, you're one of the minority who was in there just at the right time, at the right place to get a few bucks. And then after that, if you stick around there any longer than to collect what you've got, you'll put that money right back into that system and go flat broke and run home penniless. That's how they have to set it up.
And they'll use the fact that you won. They'll broadcast that all over the place to keep the people who are losing playing.
Yeah.
Playing and hoping.
So
and playing.
If one guy wins and a million guy loses, they still make money.
Have you ever been to a pop-up auction where you get these backstreet auctions where you got a guy running around the crowd and he's, you know, somebody's gone and bought a brand new PlayStation 4 for $100 or something like that. And everybody's going, oh, I want one too for that price. And then they start the real auction. Because the person they just auctioned off the PlayStation 4 to for $100 is their brother-in-law. That's what it's all about. But, it's just the last politician that came knocking on my door seeking my vote got really upset with me when I said, well, to be honest, I don't really intend to participate in any, you know, popularity contests. I'm not interested in Big Brother anymore. I'm interested in you, because at least we can kick one of them out. We get stuck with you for 4 or 5 years. What do we do about it? I said, how about bringing back recall? That means if you lie through your teeth in your election manifesto and you're not actually capable of implementing anything you said you'd do, then we can kick your ass to the curb and get somebody in that will do it.
Well, what needs to be done is they need to be held accountable for lying. I mean, when you swear an oath to uphold a constitution or whatever, and then you get in there and you're not upholding that oath and you're going against it, that should be just the equivalence of perjury in court. But, you know...
What they claim is, oh, it's a coalition government and we have to make sacrifices to form one. Well, in other words, you're not capable of doing what you said you'd do.
Yeah.
Why do we need you? I mean, I can come up with wishes and prayers, a list 100 feet long. But it doesn't mean to say I can actually do it.
Well,
that seems to be the recurring thing with politicians. Yes, we're going to give universal health care, even though it's going to cost 3 times more than it currently does. Oh, and by the way, all of my relatives are going to make quite a lot of money out of it, thank you very much.
We need two networks.
One of the
things
that's going through at the minute is you had the Obama phone.
Yeah.
They're all banging on about the Trump gun.
We need two networks. We need one that's going to spend their time and effort and energy towards watching and keeping eyes on the government and the corporations out there. And we need groups of individuals who are going to do research and share that research out there and do it in a way that everybody out there already knows it's possible. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. It's proven technology. And that's the only way you're ever going to beat them at this game, because they've already got it set up. The average Joe ain't got a snowball's chance in heck of going up against the oil companies or the bankers. The bankers, it's like you talked about earlier, somebody jump on your computer and put things that don't belong there so that they can just frame you into whatever. Or you have a heart attack, or your building gets burnt down, all that kind of stuff. If you guys don't think that this is reality, go back in history and look at all the big wars that went on between all the different unions here in the United States. And they actually shot people, man. All right, there was a whole lot of dirty deeds going on. When they were fighting for better pay or whatever like that, if it went against the system, these guys not only had the power, they had the money to pay people to stand there, a standing army of their own to literally fend off any of the workers out there. And they were going company against company. It was a fight from the start to finish between like GM or not GM, the electric company. The Rothschilds and all the different big names that you hear and all the conspiracies out there. You go back and look at all the different deals during the Industrial Revolution between the railroads, the power companies, the oil companies, and you'll see that these guys went to war with each other.
Speaking of unions and whatnot, I'm pretty sure OSHA regulations require that we have a music break at some point here.
Okay, we can do that. I need a breath anyway.
Well, all right.
Whilst we're on a little break there, I'd suggest anybody listening to go and look up the East India Tea Company and look at the history of that.
Cool.
All right, folks.
Because that's basically the biggest private army on the planet during the British Empire.
Yeah.
And they're basically mercenaries that were hired to go around and do everything the government didn't want to get their hands dirty doing. And what do we have now?
Blackwater?
Blackwater. So what's the difference?
Yeah, you got private industries out there who seem to be immune to prosecution for war crimes, whereas if it was a standing military, they would have been prosecuted by now. But these other guys seem to be able to go in and literally get by with murder and do the things that they do, and they're not held accountable. Is that a conspiracy? That's fact.
We got a song to start the music break off for all this that matches this theme we're on now?
No, I don't think so. Well, I guess I could put Molly Hatchet Flirting with Disaster. Because that's exactly
let's do that now.
All right, folks, stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. If you ain't figured out why we're mad by now, you ain't been listening. All right, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. We had a very interesting conversation about the whole power structure and the big scam of the overall scenario. There is not an energy crisis. There never has been an energy crisis. And as far as the whole global warming / climate change / climate disruption debacle, whatever, if you really truly believe that that is the case, then what you need to be doing is backing those folks out here who are really into alternative energy research. There's a lot of brilliant individuals out here showing you different methods by which you can generate electricity and such. Now, the whole entire system that you have in your house right now was made inefficient, you know, because of the way that it's all set up. You're pretty much at the mercy of, the power company. You got to have that power to be able to run your refrigerators and your toasters and your ovens and so on and so forth. You're either going to be feeding the fuel industry, whether it be natural gas or propane or the electrical companies, whichever system you're on. The fuel industries, the energy industries out there, they're huge. And they got you over the barrel. They either shut you off at the switch or stop selling your fuel, and you ain't got nothing. So if you go out and buy yourself a generator, now guess what? You got to have fuel in that generator. So where you got to go? You got to go up to the local fuel station and buy from who? Yep, same individuals. They own that too. So, you know, that's just, they got you over the barrel right there. And the only way that you're going to get around it is if you actually pay attention to technologies that's already in existence out there. If you're thinking, if you got high hopes and dreams of becoming wealthy by inventing some sort of alternative energy device, you're fooling yourself, because it's been tried and tried and tried. And the power structures out there that are in charge, J.P. Morgan, he shut down Tesla funding because he wasn't going to be able to make no money off of it. If you give people free energy, you can't make no money. Does that mean free energy doesn't exist? Well, there's a lot of educated idiots coming out of college who will tell you just that. Oh, well, there ain't no such thing as free energy. When in reality, there's more free energy on this planet, and if used wisely, you would never even have to worry about paying a doggone bill. But you don't own the oil wells, so you can't tap from that unless you buy from the spigot. You don't own the sky, but the wind is blowing. Yeah, you can't stop the wind from blowing, so take advantage of that motion while it's going and build your wind turbine like Muddy does over his green wind and other home technologies. And if the sun, the wind ain't blowing, the sun's out, then use that. If you live next to a stream, then use that. If you live next to the ocean, use that. There's salt water, tons of it in the ocean. It's already ready. Just suck some of that salt water out and use the electrolysis process, or even sound frequencies or whatever, radio waves, turn it into hydrogen. Use that. You see what I'm saying, guys? It's not like you can't.
Go ahead. So I'm going to head off because I'm kind of rough. I just want to leave you with a final comment. The true energy crisis of time, energy, and intellect that's wasted on making sure that people cannot achieve their full potential.
Yep.
If they could, and they did, they would be uncontrollable, because they wouldn't need to be controlled.
The most dangerous individual out there, with that said,
he's independent.
Yeah, I kind of was sitting around one day and I was thinking, why would they even care about a simple guy such as myself? You know, why would they even pay attention? Why would they even want to spy on people in their homes or their cell phones? Because ideas are dangerous. You can't have a bunch of people out there thinking and giving each other ideas because they might get something accomplished that'll peel from your wallet. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yeah, ideas aren't fundamentally dangerous by themselves, but unapproved ideas are, because they don't fit with the general plan of things.
Yeah, the agenda.
And that's how it goes. I mean, that's why you have the Ministry for Information.
Ideas are not dangerous until people decide to act on them either.
Well,
until the populace decides to stop messing around and get serious about trying to solve the problems that are being perpetrated onto them like they are now, there's not going to be a solution. You can have all the solutions you want. They're not really a solution. They're just an idea until you actually use them. Until you actually put, some elbow grease into it.
Yeah, and when we talk about networking, and Steve, before you peel off, thanks for joining us on there. You're always brilliant as usual. I hope you get to feeling better. But
well, I had a little bit of a rant, but...
Yeah, that's all right. It happens. That's why they call it mad science. Look, these ideas out there, when I talk about us networking, Thomas and all of us in our little circle here of alternative energy and research, we can network with each other. We got each other's contacts and all that kind of stuff. And if you guys are interested in networking as well with us, then, you join in on the conversation. But that doesn't mean you have to join our network in order to start your own network. You need as many networks out there. It's kind of like,
we need decentralization.
Yeah, exactly. United we stand, divided we fall kind of thing, that's the only way you're going to get anything done. You ain't going to get it done by asking the man, please, sir, can I have some more? It's not going to happen like that, They're going to give you what they want to give you. They're going to give you the technology they want to give you. We should be
going to smack you down if you ask for more than they're willing to give you.
The technology that we have at our disposal doesn't even scratch the surface of what we're capable of. And when the average Joe becomes powerful via knowledge and information out there, well, that's a danger to the power structure. That's why they want to listen in on your cell phone conversations. Ain't got nothing to do with the whole war on terror, the whole war on drugs. It's all about who's going to come up with the best idea. The squeakiest wheel gets the grease. That's the whole concept of it all. If you're out there being the squeaky wheel and you're getting all this attention, suddenly somebody's going to come in there and make you look bad. Look what happened with...
Well, it's kind of funny, actually, issue this, because we always say the squeakiest wheel in Europe is grease.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You're the only ones making noise about getting a bailout.
Find out who's being attacked in this world, and you'll find out who's going against the system. That's as simple as that. Syria. Everybody's fighting over Syria. What does Syria have that everybody wants?
They had a good education system. They had a good infrastructure until people started blowing it up.
Yeah, now it's a mess. Now it's a mess, and we're on the verge of World War III. Why? Why couldn't we work hand-in-hand with the Russians and help them get their infrastructure and let them sell their products? Why couldn't we have worked with the Middle East and helped them and work with China and help them and everybody working together? Why couldn't we have done that? We didn't have to do it under some sort of one-world government. We could have done it under a one-world ideas. You guys be your country, we'll be our country, and we'll all try to take care of each other, and we'll try to uplift these countries down there. But the fact of the matter remains...
On the back of that Monsanto statement about them being taken to court for crimes against humanity, the Russians are kind of laughing at the minute because there's very little GMO stuff in Russia, and they aim to be one of the world's biggest producers of natural food.
Well, then they'll have one heck of a market because people are going to want to buy stuff that ain't been tampered with.
But the problem is any time you introduce a genetically modified crop near any other crop it can pollinate with, that crop will end up with the DNA from the pollen, from the modified plant.
The GMOs become like a virus.
Yeah.
I mean, you're literally talking thousands of miles pollen can travel. In fact, to be honest, if it manages to survive it could land on any part of the globe once it gets up into the Gulf Stream.
I tell you, folks, if you want to see the future of this world, you go watch that doggone series called Jericho. You go watch that and you see how it played out and who was involved and who started the deal, and you see what happened. One of the things to pay attention to in that deal was they come out, the one side come out, they got a whole new American flag. The flag, the stripes are going the other way, other direction. They said, but that's because we're going in a new direction, and the 13 stars symbolize the original colonies and such. But what was the scariest portion about the whole deal is they had already printed up and started distributing school books that just completely changed the history to the victor writes the history kind of thing. But if you want to see firsthand a view into what the future of the United States or any nation for that matter will be, you watch it. And you watch how brutal that people can beat each other when they're desperate. So you put that kind of scenario down, you know, it seems like my mad science has turned into more of a survivalist deal where I'm sitting here trying to tell everybody, look, you know, worst case scenario, you can turn this old washing machine into a generator, you know. I shouldn't have to point that out, but, you know, I do because, you know, if the power grid ever goes down and you need a little bit of lights and some heat or whatever, there's at least something you can work with. As far as the free energy... Go ahead, Steve.
I'll leave you with this thought, and it's kind of poignant when you talk about Jericho being in a post-apocalyptic world. A famous intellectual once said, I don't know what weapons will be used in World War III, but it'll be sticks and stones in World War IV.
Yeah, my personal view is there ain't going to be nothing after World War III, because if it does decide to go nuclear, you know, hey... You got to think back in the day when they dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which killed a whole bunch of innocent people that weren't involved with the whole power structure of that deal. But regardless of that fact, that those bombs there weren't nowhere near as powerful as the ones they got now. Right? It's just ridiculous.
They've got non-nuclear ordinances that are more powerful.
Yep.
Chemical-based ordinances that are not radioactive.
But
anyway, Shaziz, I'll leave you to it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care, brother. Hope you get feeling better.
I'll talk to you soon, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Also, if you want to look at the other side of the coin, if the corporations win, you're looking at, there's a show you can watch to see what things will end up turning out like. It's called Idiocracy. And it's almost as frightening as Jericho, maybe more so.
Yeah, I'd like to see that one, too. I haven't got a chance to see that one, but...
You see the game show host, or I mean, the game show thing is basically read the reality TV show. Between the game shows and the talk shows, they came up with these reality TV shows like Big Brother and whatnot. And if you watch how often everything is so similar throughout the themes of their shows and whatnot, it's like if you boil it down a step further, you end up with a show like they actually depict in that movie. It's something like called the Ball Kicked Man or something like that. It's just repeatedly different instances of the guy getting hit in the balls. That's it. The whole show all revolves around this guy just getting hit multiple times, and that's all anybody cares about, just sitting around and laughing at this guy getting kicked in the balls over and over and over again. Whole show.
Well, you know, like what?
And they're, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, why are our crops dying? Well, you're giving them Mountain Dew. You're giving them Gatorade, you know. Plants can't survive on that. They need water, you know, and their response is, what, you mean like from a toilet? And that's, if you watch the show, you see that the reason that they think this way is because of the corporate advertising to brainwash people into buying their product to the point where they literally think, well, the whole planet needs this.
Yep.
It's not just for us. Everybody's got to drink this stuff. Nobody should be drinking water because it's nasty.
Well, the series Jericho came out at around about 2006, I think it was, somewhere around about. But if you watch that, you'll see and hear things in that show that resemble what you're seeing and hearing now. One of the enemies, they say, we bombed the heck out of Iran and North Korea, you know? That was 2006 when they did that, and now they're talking about all this stuff going on. I mean, life imitates art. Watch some of the older movies like that and see if you don't think that maybe they were trying to tell you something way back when, what they were getting ready to smack you down with. Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds like a conspiracy, and I even hate that word anymore because, you know, you gotta try to justify, you know, people call you tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theory when you look up in the sky, you see lines going through the sky that don't look normal, and you ask questions about it. Oh, you're just a conspiracy nut. So on and so forth. I mean, it's crazy. It's just flat out crazy. No matter what you say, if they point it out, it's truth. If you point it out, you're a nut. You know?
Right.
And the only way to get around this is for people to start using some wisdom. Stop letting these doggone jerks out there in the mainstream media and all that kind of jazz, stop letting them try to play you like a banjo. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're playing...
Stop, I was going to say, stop making it their responsibility to think for you. Think for yourself.
Get out there, research. Research as much as you can possibly research in all kinds of different energies. You know... You got to do it. If you don't, the only alternative is you got to go to their spigot to get your fuel. You got to go to their power company to get your fuel. And what makes it even worse is there's individuals out there in the alternative energy community who are putting out bogus information and trying to scam people. So that makes everybody who's legitimate out there look like a scam artist, an idiot. They will actually have people come out there and say, oh, well, there's no such thing as free energy. The moment somebody tells me there's no such thing as free energy, I no longer take them serious because they have absolutely no concept of basic science. Water is hydrogen and oxygen. When you burn water, you get water. Oil, it's natural in the earth. It's carbon-based. You're carbon-based. There are so many different fuel sources out there, it's not even remotely funny. It's ridiculous how we can see all this stuff right in front of our face. That you can make a torch out of water. You can burn water.
Something I'm kind of wondering about is if you were to use a carbon-based fuel source, right? Graphite. Use graphite as a fuel source. You burn it, right? But deprive it of oxygen and only give it hydrogen. Like you split water and you send the hydrogen one way and the oxygen the other way, and only burn the carbon with the hydrogen to get hydrocarbons out of it. And when you get done burning it with that, it goes into another chamber as an exhaust that then has the oxygen from the water sent to it to burn it again, to oxidize it.
Yeah, and if you've done it properly...
So you literally burn it twice.
If you've done it properly, you could recapture the carbon, and the carbon itself becomes fuel again.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you want to talk about nano-coating? Imagine nano-coating while you're driving your car. Because CO2 is nothing more. And actually, we need to go back to carbon monoxide, which is one carbon atom, one oxygen atom connected. But one of those is tiny. I mean, it's literally ridiculously small. And if you had a filtration system capable of capturing that, you see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
But
carbon dioxide might actually be burnable with hydrogen too. Like, you may literally be able to turn carbon dioxide into water vapor and carbon if you inject excess hydrogen. Then you end up basically with hydrogen coating both the carbon and the oxygen. We just have to look and see what the higher energy state is.
Well,
see what it takes to turn these unuseful waste products into useful products.
If left alone, the brilliant minds could do it. You know, I watched that Back to the Future Part 2 where the guy was talking about when he starts throwing the banana peels in the trash down inside the deal for fuel, and he's basically burning garbage. You know, it reminded me of the GEAT system, how that's pretty much burning garbage, and anything can be used as fuel. So when I watch that, and I see maybe back in that day when they were making that Back to the Future deal, maybe they were trying to tell us something back then. But the fact that you can't get these ideas out there in the general public to take hold, you know. What do we got? What's it going to take? We have to go run around and put a sticky note on everybody's forehead, do your research, that kind of deal? I don't know, man. But I can tell you one thing for a fact. Well, there is no energy crisis. There's never been no energy crisis. It's just been people trying to figure out a way so that they don't have to be under the thumb of the man. And that's, to me, what free energy research is all about. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Now, we got to figure out ways around the inefficient junk that takes so much to run. You know, you turn some brilliant minds loose and let them turn them loose to think and create. You'll find things that they can do with the waste products of just about everything under the sun, including nuclear waste. Man, I mean, Thomas, we refine radioactive material to a really hot radioactive material, and we boil water. All right, it's 2015, and we're still boiling water.
Yeah, the steam era never ended. The method of creating the steam just kept changing. I say we set a goal to eliminate Shaziz Radio in 2 years, because there'll be no need for us to talk about this stuff anymore. It'll all be solved.
Well, you know what? I could use a vacation. I'm 50 years old. I'm not going to be able to sit here and holler about mad science forever and a day.
I should say let's end mad science and pick up with, you know, nice little round table after all the problems that mad science is trying to accomplish solving have been solved.
I'm on board with it.
Another problem that can be tackled, but let's get this one out of the way. Let's get the energy thing completely done.
I'm on board with anything that moves us forward, because this has never been about fame or fortune or money for me. This has always been about what's the difference between what's right and what's wrong. If somebody out there is trying to sell you plans for a free energy device, don't walk away, run away. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're willing to hand it over and let you do the building and research of it, then I would be more apt to trust them, because they're putting everything on the table. They're saying, look, here are the designs, you build it, you use your own resources and all that, you pay for it, you build it, but here's the free designs, and if this works out for you, you give us credit for it, you know, that kind of thing like that. I could understand that, but if somebody's trying to sell you something like the old Keshi device out there, I ain't even going to go down that road, because it just makes me mad. But the fact of the matter is, everybody will find out, because if it ain't true, then it'll come out. If it is true, then it'll come out. But so far, to this extent, all I've seen is a whole lot of dragging feet and a whole lot of babble and scribble and no results. When I talk about free energy research, it's already been there. There's all kinds of hydrogen technology out there. There are ways to burn the so-called fossil fuel, oil. There's ways to burn that more efficiently. There's ways to take the waste off of that and reuse it for fuel as well. There are ways out there together. Solar power, thermal, hydroelectrics, wind power, you name it. You know, and there are battery technologies out there. Go look what Robert Murray Smith has been working on. The guy is brilliant. I mean, you know, it's research. Gerard Morin out there, same thing. You know, there's so many different alternative energy researchers out there. You scan around YouTube, if somebody's trying to promise you something, that they're showing you something and it doesn't look just about right, I'm not saying you need to pay attention to it anyway, because there might be a trick that they showed in there in the process of their scam that you might learn something from. But pay attention to these guys out there. You know, there are a lot of brilliant individuals out there. And it don't have to be YouTube. You know, get out there, find your networks, different social medias that you can trust. You know, you got to know if you're on the internet, somebody's spying on you. They either want to sell you something, or they want to know what you're up to. It's as plain and simple as that. But right now, it's probably the best tool that we got, you know, to get out there to the masses and to get everybody motivated to knowing that you can get outside of that box. You can think for yourself, and you can be creative. And if you inspire other people and you turn them loose, you turn a brilliant mind loose with some resources, you're going to get what you ask for. You know, the green people out there, they make me mad because...
You turn a mind loose with the resources to work with, you might end up getting stuff that you never asked for, you suddenly realize you have to have.
Yeah. The green people out there make me mad because we're trying to give them just what they want for, and they spend their time trying to troll us, and the doggone people that supposedly educated from college... indoctrinated from college, come out thinking they know everything about the laws of physics, and then some will come out there and just tell you how stupid you are instead of saying, you know, look, I kind of disagree because of the, you know, laws of physics, and give you an explanation of why they think it ain't going to work, but also out of the same breath put something on the table that you can work with, you know, such as what I'm saying about the lens effect whenever you're running a generator. You know, if you know that this is going to happen, then work a system that will not invoke that law to begin with. It's not defying anything. It's just working around it, common sense. When you boil water into steam, you still have water. It's just in a different form. And it pressurizes. You can move it more rapidly. The same thing applies with electricity. If you take the electricity off the generator and you change it to a completely different form of electricity so that it ain't feeding back into that machine, you're not drawing from it directly, you're just allowing the energy flow to go into a totally different deal, it ain't no different than boiling water. When you get backup pressure in boiling water, you open the valve and you use that pressure that's coming up out of there, and as long as you keep boiling that water, you'll continue to have the same pressure. And one thing I've ever learned in my life about boilers is you get more pressure than you want. You got to relieve it once in a while. Otherwise, it'll blow up. That's why they got a little valve on your hot water heater so it don't blow up. It's a lot of power. You see what I'm saying, Thomas?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep showing people things I'm showing them. You know, there's other things out there. Because of resources, I've been making the attempt to go out there and find different things like the direct drive motors and the permanent magnet motors that could be turned into ready-built generators right off the store shelves. I've been trying to show people things about wireless energy transfer and how different lighting systems could function. How to use different types of energies. And instead of putting all your eggs into one basket, you know, you could take an idea from multiple ones and you could build you a self-sufficient device. It's not beyond the realms of possibility to build a device that when the sun is out, you're getting electricity from that. When the wind is blowing, you're getting electricity from that. When the stream is rolling down the deal, you're getting electricity from that. Different metals, galvanic action, radiant energy, there's so many different places, hydrogen, oxygen, all of these different energies combined in together, and even take in the doggone generator that you're running if it's an internal combustion engine, and taking all the waste energy off of that. A light bulb, for Pete's sake, 150-watt light bulb, when that thing's gone, it will produce a massive amount of heat, and if you put your finger on it, you'll burn your finger. That's all wasted energy. So why not use it?
Well, unless you're suffering from massive global warming like we are right now here in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, man, I got my electric heater. You can hear it going on in the background. I'm covered up in a blanket, and that global warming's biting at my toes.
Mm. You can use it to melt off some of that white global warming.
Yeah. But guys and gals out there in the world, You're being played like a banjo. The same companies that profess to want to save the world are the same companies selling you the crud that they say they're trying to get rid of. You know, it's the best scam in the world, you know. They get money from both directions. You know, come out and say, hey, doomsday's right around the corner. You'll sell a bunch of generators. Guess what? Those generators take gasoline. Alright, hey, we need green energy. We need electric cars. When the the auto industry decided to pull the electric cars and put them on the table, suddenly there was an issue. The bank funds dried up. There were fires going on here and there. There were different things happening that hindered their progress. And next thing you know, the auto industries are recalling their doggone cars and smashing them. Why would you smash them? You have them built. If you're going to recall them for testing, you put them in the shop and you keep them because they're already built. It's proven technology. Why smash them unless you want to hide them? Why smash them unless you want to not people to not know they even existed? How many people out there knew about the EV1 from General Motors? You know what I'm saying? How many people knew about Stan Meyer's technology, where he's running around a dune buggy in the 70s, running on a car that was burning water? You know, and you bring these out now? Oh, well, that will never work, because when you burn water using electrolysis, you draw too much amperage. Well, he figured out a way to do it with radio signals and high voltage, and he did it. All right, take that injector, modify it to send it into a super fine mist in a fog, and then burn that. It's that simple. It can be done.
It's well, I think you were sending some of that water uncracked in there, too, to increase the compression and increase the octane rating.
Oh, yeah.
The octane rating basically just determines the higher the octane rating, the more pressure it can withstand before it auto-combusts.
That's what the farmers were doing.
You're not getting pre-ignition, so.
That's what the farmers were doing. When they got their doggone tractors up to operating temperature, they started injecting water directly into the cylinders, and they were saving fuel.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't using liquid vaporized fuel to increase the pressure. They were using something that wasn't burnable.
Yep.
To increase the pressure and make sure that the fuel that was burnable was burnt when it was supposed to be burnt, and gave the maximum amount of pressure.
Well, either way, they used it to save fuel. Now, if they can do it in the tractors, then you can do it in your car as well. There are so many technologies out there that are available. It's just a matter of the average Joe wanting to do it, wanting to basically win this war, win this war on the people by giving them a dose of their own medicine. You know, if you ain't buying their fuel, it'll start stockpiling and they'll have to drop the price. If you're buying less of the fuel, it'll start stockpiling and they'll have to drop the price. You know, it's supply and demand. It's common sense. If you want to do any damage to the people that's out there damaging the world, you ain't going to do it with a picket sign. You're going to do it by hitting them in the wallet, period. That's the only thing they know is the bottom line. That's the only thing that you, when you speak money, you speak their language.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it, it's all just yelling at the wall, because you watch peaceful protesters sitting down on a curb, which is on public property, sitting on a curb, just being peaceful, and a guy dressed up like a Nazi stormtrooper comes by with a doggone fire extinguisher-sized pepper spray and just hoses them all down. Comply!
Hey, if you want to know what they're going to do to deal with people protesting, just have a look at the richer neighborhoods in a city. What's the one thing they all have in common? Massive concrete walls that separate them from the rest of the outside world, with the exception of a few gates that they use to get in and out.
Yep.
Once they're inside that gated community, they don't have to hear or see nothing. We're talking 20, 25-foot tall walls that are a foot thick, made out of solid concrete and iron rebar.
And there are folks in this world who've been so doggone rich, they've never even been into a grocery store. They have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They are that secluded away from the reality, and then they'll get on the TV your favorite talk show host, and they'll sit there and they'll talk about all the things in the world and all the things happening. They'll give you the government's point of view on everything, but they don't have any kind of clue whether or not what they're telling you is truth or fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works.
Yep.
So, you know, the only way around it is for the people to become wise. You know, ideas, spread them like the plague, you know. Get out there, get off the couch, do something, go out there and see what you can do to make your house more efficient. Even if it's taking one light bulb out of your house.
Off the grid.
That one light bulb in how many millions of billions of households out there? That's a fat chunk of change out of the man's wallet. Right? If you take one light bulb a piece off the power grid, you'll see a change. And then next month, do the same thing. Take another one off. Keep doing that until your entire house is off the doggone power grid. You're still connected. You're still going to have to pay them money, you know. But you're going to notice that they're going to start being a little bit more polite to you, because now they need to sell you something that they got that you don't need. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can't sell everybody a widget if everybody already owns a widget.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's about the best I can do for everybody out there. You know, these conversations that we have and the ideas and to try to motivate you guys out there to be free thinkers, step outside of that doggone box. Look around. There's more to this world than meets the eye. And if you feed the beast, you can't complain when the beast eats you alive. You know? You starve the beast, that beast is getting all kinds of skinny over there now. That beast needs you. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference there, you know? People, unfortunately, put themselves into bondage. Whether it be from lack of understanding.
The idea you have of taking it like one bulb at a time,
yep,
you can afford to, also basically simulates the frog in the pot of boiling water that, you know, started out room temperature and just slowly rose that temperature a little bit at a time, so therefore the frog never noticed,
yep,
that it was basically being boiled. The same thing will apply to the power company. If you're just taking it a little bit at a time, they see your bill slowly going down over time, they're not going to really pay much attention to it whenever you're only paying like $2 or $3 a month on your electric bill and the $15 or $20 a month surcharge at that point, instead of paying, you know, $20 for having it hooked up and then another $150 because you're using so much electricity.
Yep, and so. then that and the money, you know, alternative lighting systems, the money that you save, you could reinvest in something else, and, you know.
There's always, the human desire is infinite. So no matter how much money you have, you will always find a way to enjoy it, you know. To,
yep,
spend it. Everything that you can keep from being spent on things that you have to have that you're not really getting to enjoy is left over afterwards because you're not having to spend the money on it anymore. You're getting what you need. You can spend that money on what you want then, you know.
Well, everybody out there is looking for the holy grail of free energy devices. And I firmly believe that it can be built. We have the technology right now to build the perfect generator. And it's not beyond the realms of the average Joe's possibility to get the right crews together, the right brilliant minds to literally make it happen. You got to get past egos first off. You got to get past the ones that's trying to get rich second. And you got to get past the ones who are educated into the extent that they always find a reason why it can't be done. Try it before you deny it, is what I'm trying to say. There are so many possibilities, but ain't nothing ever going to get done standing there with your little picket sign saying save the trees if you only knew how ignorant you look with a wooden pole and a paper sign that has a little picture of a dying tree on there, and you're standing out there saying save the trees. If you're worried about saving the trees, get out there and plant a tree. If you're worried about getting saved the planet, get out there and clean up your neighborhood.
Now, let's say if you're worried about getting hemp legalized, show people how to use other plants.
Yep.
Instead of hemp, so that eventually they realize that them illegalizing hemp to control you is no longer valid, because you become uncontrollable, because every plant that's available to you, you can now use. They'll drop the whole shenanigans of trying to invest money into keeping you from being able to use hemp. Because at that point, it's basically just a waste of money. They're earning money now because you stop using any plants whatsoever or doing any of this stuff, just because you've been told that only that one plant can do all the stuff that you need it to do. And therefore, you're not doing anything, and you're just turning to the oil industry.
Over 50,000 durable and good products can be made using hemp products.
And every single one of those products can be made with another plant that they haven't regulated out. Many of them are weeds that grow along the side of the road, they grow along the power lines, they grow around the side of your house, and you have to constantly run out there with a weed eater cutting them down, and you can totally use those.
Well, folks, we're coming down to the wire again. It's that terrible wire there, Thomas. But Stephen Gibbons pointed out a good link inside there. Upside-down Aquion batteries capable of powering a typical single-family home for between 1,000 and 3,000. Downside, investors in Aquion include Bill Gates and venture capital firms, Klein, Perkins, and Caulfield, or whatever. Be skeptical when you're trying to sell you something, but don't overlook it, because there are people out there, even at the top, the ones that hollering the whole green, they'll point out things that could be valuable, you know. But there is no energy crisis. There is no global warming / climate change outside of what nature does.
The only energy crisis we have now is the energy of the brain.
Yeah, we got
an intelligence crisis right now.
We got a common sense crisis. Lack of it. Common sense. And if we get down
we've hit the peak of common sense.
They want... Some
you
got to
start charging that common sense.
Yep. Some folks say they want to depopulate the planet. All right, if we get into World War III, that ought to be doing a pretty good job of it. And when
all I can say to that is that Hitler wanted to depopulate the planet of all the Jews. Einstein was a Jew. Imagine what would have happened to this world if he had been eliminated before he could release his information. That child that's being born to that homeless family may have like mental health issues and whatnot, and that's why they can't hold their life together and whatnot. You don't know, but what that child will either be the one that will basically provide some world-changing knowledge to allow us to escape this planet before the we hit that critical mass point for the sun and it burns the planet up, allowing the human race to continue existing beyond just this planet. I mean, this is just a nest.
Well,
and eventually we have to grow up. You know.
Yeah, I agree, man. See,
if the more minds you have thinking, the bigger the pool of knowledge you can accomplish developing.
In my way of thinking, there's no such thing as a worthless individual out there. There's just a lot of people that make a lot of stupid choices. And if you kill off somebody you never even met, might be that one person that would have saved the world from a devastating plague or whatever. So either way, folks, you've been listening.
Figured out a solution before the Vogon fleet got here and decided to demolish the planet for their super bypass.
Yeah, that's all we need is some more elite coming from a different planet with superior technology. We've already got that here, and it's a mess. So anyway, folks, you've been listening to Mad Science. Hope you join us for the Knights of the Round Table over at ShazizRadio.com. And if you jump over to ShazizRadio.com /superchat.html, you can get to talk with the folks in the Wake Radio chat room as well. There's a lot of networks involved out here behind the scenes. Give them all credit, but the list is too long for a moment. So we're going to go ahead and get up out of here. So peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned, and thank you for tuning in. Ah! Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.